welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. And folks, you're in the right place, as we do seem to have fully entered into the initial opening stages of what could very well develop into a full-fledged civil war. Now, whether it gets to that point, what that looks like, what we could do to stop it, we'll get into all of that today, and we'll talk about some of the more violent examples over the weekend of, you know, attacks against Fed facilities, ICE facilities, statements from mayors and governors and all sorts of people in authority, pretty much all but literally declaring war against the federal government. So we'll get into that and exactly what lies behind it. And of course, we'll tear down their arguments piece by piece. But we've got a lot of new revelations about this as of this morning. So I want to go to a few of those videos. First is Caroline Leavitt, White House spokesperson, talking about how they will be going after Antifa, how they will be targeting and attempting to dismantle this domestic terror network inside the United States. Very happy to see more discussions about this. Would love to see the real full-fledged action, and we are getting some of that. We'll talk about where troops are being sent from where and what judges are trying to stop it and what Trump's response is to that. Because, yeah, it looks an awful lot like the beginning of the Civil War. I mean, that's very much what it looks like. I don't know exactly what's going to be that first shot, you know, the first fort fired upon. I don't really know when we're going to tell, okay, now we're in a civil war, but I think that moment is coming. Here's Caroline Leavitt explaining how the Trump administration is going after Antifa.
The financial backing of these groups, particularly Antifa, is certainly something the administration is looking into aggressively. And the federal government has never really been mobilized or tasked with doing that. So we're kind of kickstarting that into gear. The FBI is working on it alongside the White House's Homeland Security Task Force. We have our intelligence community looking into this as well. And even the Secretary of Treasury is involved with these matters since they are financial in nature. And we will continue to get to the bottom of who is funding these organizations in this organized anarchy against our country and our government. It's a question the American people have been begging the answer for many years, and we're committed to uncovering it. And when we do, I'm sure you'll be one of the first people to know.
So, of course, we're very happy to hear that. Scott Bessent and others going after the monetary support of Antifa. But, you know, we know where a lot of the money comes from. And at the end of the day, well, again, I'm happy that they're going after the head of the snake. You know, as Alex was talking about today, if you get rid of the deep state, all this other stuff crumbles away. But on the other hand, it's the people who are attacking the ICE officers and the federal officers, the ones that are there on the ground, acting as if they have total immunity from legal consequences. Well, you just go after them. Why don't you just go after them? And then I'm sure when they're facing a 30-year prison sentence for terroristic activities, they'll be happy to give up all of the secrets that they know about everybody they've ever been friends with, because these people are cowards. So why don't you just do that? So again, you know, so much of what the Trump administration does, it's like, yes, good, go after the Antifa funding, but they're also on the ground throwing rocks at your agents. Just arrest them there. Why don't you just put a stop to that? You don't need to do any investigation. You don't need to find anything out. They're there on the ground throwing rocks at you. Arrest them. It's actually not that complicated. And again, you know, I'll show you more on the other side. I'll show you, Stephen Miller talking about what tactics they'll be taking and how far they'll be going. I love seeing the increasingly sort of powerful talk from the Trump administration, but it's just the same thing we've gone over a million different times. It's the same thing with the Russia collusion hoax. They're still talking about investigations into that. We've known who was involved for 10 years at this point. When are we going to actually see action? When are we going to actually see the perp walks, the handcuffs, the trials, the convictions, the sentences? That's what we want. We don't want any more investigation. We've done all of the investigation you could ever possibly do to know who these people are and what their networks look like. It's all out there, ready to be scooped up, and they're launching an investigation. So it's, again, just a constant thing, I guess, with the second Trump administration. It's like, yes, good, very powerful speech from Caroline Leavitt, but if you really think about the situation that we're in, how far this has already gone, it's like, okay, these types of investigations should have been launched in 2018 at the latest. We've already done them. Ask us. Why don't you just ask us or ask our guests what Antifa's doing and where they get their funding? We've done the research. We can tell you.
And they'll be like, all the shows are running in. It got shut down. We've been fighting it. We don't want it. But yeah, it's happening, but they don't own thealexjonesstore.com, and we have the last stand super sale. Buy one bottle, get any bottle free of any of the supplements, the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, the very best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, go now to alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com, and get download the free app, listen to the show, and share it. We love our Muslims, too. Oh, they so good. Oh, they so sweet. Oh, wow. Be sure to get the app right now, folks, and share it right now. I'm just saying that bang on the head. You realize, Matthew, it's the viewers and listeners did this. It ain't me, brother.
Back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. Yes, we do find ourselves on the cusp of a full-fledged civil war. And while that may be scary, while that may seem terrifying to a lot of people, the fact is that it's not too scary yet. It's not too bad yet. It's going to get bad. It's going to get insane. It's going to actually become like the movie Civil War. I mean, that's what awaits us. They're telling us, you know, the people organizing this are the ones, you know, who have made the movies that explain exactly how this goes. So this, once again, is my frustration with the Trump administration. The lackadaisical attitude that they seem to have with all of this, as if we have infinite time, as if, you know, for 10 years from now, we'll be finally wrapping things up when we all know exactly what the other side intends for us. Hell, this story with Jay Jones and the race in Virginia where this guy is revealed, this guy is texting things about his opponent saying he wants to shoot him in the head and wishes his kids died, doesn't drop out of the race when this is uncovered. And nobody from the Democratic Party, nobody so far as I can tell, has even condemned it or distance themselves from it. They're all in. This is what they actually believe. And we've shown you videos and could show you more from Eric Swalwell and Gavin Newsom and Hakeem Jeffries and all of them. They are not being subtle about this. They are saying when we get back in power, the right wing better buckle up because we're coming after them. And in a way, it's hard for me not to see what the Trump administration is doing as nothing more than poking the bear and kicking the hornet's nest. Now, if you were going to spray raid on the hornet's nest and utterly destroy it and light it on fire and throw it down a well, then yeah, kick it. Fine. As long as that's what's coming next. But if all they're doing is aggravating the leftists while not actually winning any substantial victories over them, not doing anything to tangibly decrease their power in this country, then all they're doing is setting us up to receive the incredible ire of the left when they eventually get back in power in 2028. And that looks to be like what's happening. I mean, hell, we'll probably not even make it through 2026. It'll be, you know, a blowout there. The Congress will switch sides and, you know, we'll just be completely jammed up with lawsuits and interference from the, you know, Democrats for the second half of Trump's administration. So we're very, very rapidly running out of time, and everything Trump is doing is insufficient. And a lot of what he's doing is driving people away from him. So he's recently reached the lowest approval rating he's ever had in his political time. And there's a reason. It's because we see the way the left is acting. We see the rhetoric they're using. And yet we see continually most people on the right, including the actions of the Trump administration, totally unwilling to even match the Democrats' rhetoric or actions. It's infuriating. It's beyond frustrating because we know what comes next, and it is actually horrifying and brutal. So right now, this little fire is still contained. This, you know, it's the sparks and the embers, and they're trying to blow on it and fan it and, you know, get it to raise, but it's not a raging inferno yet, but it will be. But if nobody comes along and dumps a bucket of water on it, it will be an inferno. It will be a conflagration. It will consume us all. So are we going to wait for that? So we're waiting for that, I guess. I guess we're going to wait until they accelerate things to the point that, you know, they're winning major victories. And then I guess we'll try to do something back. Like right now is a wide open field, a total brilliant opportunity for the Trump administration to come in while this revolution is still in its nascent phases and wrap it all up without too much, you know, pushback. Be very easy. In my opinion, it would be extremely easy if they had the will to do this. I don't see the will to do this, except for a few people like Stephen Miller, who, as powerful and as, you know, bombastic as his rhetoric is, I'm not seeing the follow through. I'm really not, which is upsetting. Let's go now to clip number 19. This was a question put to Stephen Miller about the actions of ICE in places like Chicago. And of course, he just, just smacks down everything these people are saying. But he at least seems to have the urgency that I wish the rest of the Republican Party would experience as well. Let's go to clip 19 now.
Is it the case that, as Pritzker frames it, you are profiling brown people, that this immigration crackdown is designed to go after people of color?
what a dumb question. The illegal aliens who are here are taking jobs away from blacks. They're taking jobs away from whites. They're taking jobs away from Latinos. They're taking their health benefits away. They're taking their school slots away. And of course, in many cases, they're committing heinous crimes. We cannot have a system of law in this country that privileges illegal aliens over American citizens. And that's what they're doing. You know it, and I know it.
So that's not exactly a no, Stephen. Can you just unequivocally
I appreciate that, but can you
So no, this policy is not designed
to... I thought when I said it was a dumb question, it meant no.
Well, I just want to be clear and precise. I appreciate you trying to qualify my questions, but nevertheless, I think it's a fair one that a lot of people have. So
full answer is no, that is a lie, and it's a dumb question.
Yeah, obviously, Steve Miller lashes out when confronted on controversial ICE practice. What is the controversial ICE practice? Arresting illegals and deporting them? Let's go to some more videos here. But again, at least Stephen Miller has the proper attitude when approaching these things. It is a dumb question. It doesn't actually deserve an answer. And it's obviously just, you know, put up to try to put him in a difficult position. And the funny thing is people actually took his answer and put it up and were like, he didn't say no. I didn't say no, though. And it's like, no, he very clearly did. I mean, they have nothing, so they're trying to take anything they can out of context because we know their plan, as Alex has laid out over and over again, it's the Podesta plan. This is what they intend to do, is convince people that what ICE is doing is somehow illegal, what the feds are doing is somehow in violation of the Constitution. It's just simply not, and it is the most frustrating part about all of this. Let's go to, is this from today? I didn't even see this. This must have been posted just a few minutes ago. Print that out for me, guys. It's a headline on InfoWars, Mask Off. How many more times do we need to be told the left wants to kill us? By Raw Egg Nationalist, talking about Jay Jones. And it's not just Jay Jones. I mean, it's all of them. They are very, very, you know, explicit about this. Let's go to clip number 24 here. This is Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson announcing that he signed an executive order to create ICE-free zones to prevent the lawful enforcement of American law on the streets of Chicago. Let's watch.
Today, we are signing an executive order aimed at reining in this out-of-control administration. The order establishes ICE-free zones. That means that city property and unwilling private businesses will no longer serve as staging grounds for these raids.
Well, that'll show them. Again, out of control administration, what exactly is out of control? What exactly are you standing up against? Exactly? It's nothing. No, it's literally nothing. They're actually not standing up against anything. What is being done is, and this is, for somebody that actually genuinely cares about this stuff, unlike everybody you're seeing talk right now, who were happy to cheer it along when sheriff's departments were sending APCs to shut their, you know, personnel carrier vehicles with rifles and masks to shut down bars because they were serving beer during COVID lockdown. They were happy to cheer that. They don't actually believe any of this stuff. And the frustrating thing is they're crying wolf. That's what's happening. They're sitting there going, oh, the administration's out of control, and what are we going to do? And, oh, they're arresting American citizens. None of it's true. So what happens if that does come to pass in the future? What happens if we do get to a point where a tyrannical, authoritarian administration is, as if we weren't in this already with Biden, but, you know, bear with me here. What if it gets to the point that they obviously want it to go to? No one's going to believe you. No one's going to believe us when we actually point out when things are actually bad and unconstitutional, because they're screaming and crying about obviously lawful actions by ICE and, you know, the federal government. What is this? Rapid Response 47. Chicago Mayor's six policy coddles illegal alien killers and rapists who prey on innocent Americans, like Stefan Kisev, a convicted child sex predator also charged with murder who ICE arrested last month. We preferred to deport scum like him. Again, I don't know how you don't charge the people that are helping him to stay in America. This just really seems like the easiest battle for the Trump administration to win. And we'll get around to exactly, you know, what that looks like. Let's go again to Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, claiming the right wing of this country wants a rematch for the Civil War. Okay, we'll break this down. Let's watch. I'm sorry, this is clip 30.
I said very candidly that the right wing in this country wants a rematch of the Civil War. I want that to sit in right now, because the President of the United States of America has declared war on the people of Chicago and people across America.
That's right.
He's more interested in giving billions of dollars to other nations while farmers in urban cities around this country are literally being destabilized.
Those urban farmers.
And so whether it's the legal system, whether it's through executive order, or whether it's through the brave women and men who are serving as rapid responders. We literally have people who are volunteering in this city, on the southwest side, the northwest side, all over this city, to make sure that we're protecting children from being separated from their families. And we're talking about volunteers who are literally putting themselves at risk of being shot and killed by the federal government. And so whether it's the legal system, whether it's our continuous struggle for liberation through organizing, and whether it's through executive action, or whether it's through law, it would be nice if we actually had lawmakers in Washington that would actually hold this president accountable. And if they won't do it, then the city of Chicago will, using every single tool that's available to us.
Oh, my God. Civil War rematch. Chicago mayor establishes ICE-free zones. Civil War rematch. So you're the Confederates this time, is basically what they're saying. I mean, if this is a Civil War rematch, then you are the Confederates, and we're going to need to destroy and then reconstruct you, you know, in our image. And it ain't going to be good. Just arrest criminals. Like, what is wrong with you? Just understand, all of this is because the local governments refuse to arrest criminals and deport illegal aliens. That's what they want to go to civil war over. Just arrest the criminals. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with these people? I don't want the Fed involved. You don't want the Fed involved. Gee, what can we do to stop the Fed being involved? Arrest criminals with your local police. Protect your law-abiding citizens from being ravaged by out-of-control criminals that are victimizing them. What is so hard about this? Why are you not willing to do that? This is genuinely insane. They're freaking out. They're like, oh my God, this is civil war. This is the worst thing ever. Like, people are putting their lives on the line. They're going to get shot. And it's like, well, you know, the solution to all of this, arrest the criminals. That's it. It's so easy. It's so simple. When you arrest a criminal with a deportation order, hand them over to ICE. Problem solved. No feds being involved. No chaos on the streets. No civil war. Just do your damn job. It is literally as simple as that. And it is literally your job. I'm trying to think of like some sort of metaphor for this. It doesn't make any sense. There is no making sense of this. I genuinely, what the hell is going on? For some reason, what's coming to my mind is you know, a guy who's working at an ice cream shop, and you've got like a masked gunman putting a gun to his head going, scoop me ice cream. Guy's going, what's going on? I'm going to be killed. And the guy's like, scoop me ice cream. The guy's like, this guy's going to kill me. I don't get it. What do I do? Won't somebody stop him? Won't somebody protect me? And the guy's like, no, just do your job. Scoop me. I just want ice cream. Scoop me the ice cream. And the guy's just like, how dare he suggest I scoop ice cream? No, this is literally your job. You are elected as the lawful authority with a monopoly of violence inside the city limits of Chicago because you're supposed to protect the innocent people from the criminals trying to victimize them. You won't do your damn job, so now somebody's coming in to do it for you. If you would do your job, they'd never have to come in. There'd be no chaos, no violence, no criminals on the street victimizing people. So all of this, everything you're seeing from these giant riots, these, you know, people being dragged away on carts and hauled away by masked ICE, you know, officers, it's all because these people, these mayors, these, you know, city, you know, police officers refuse to just do the bare minimum of their obligations, the totality of their jobs as authorities in these cities. What is going on? What is going on here? Because again, you can look at the Civil War, and nowadays people boil it down. I think it's a bunch of Southerners just being like, "But we love slaves. You're not going to take our slaves. We just like having them." It's so stupid. Go back and actually read the Civil War. It was an incredibly complicated and nuanced thing about states' rights and do we have an obligation? Plus, the whole, you know, economy was built on slavery, and it was where people's investment was. You're talking about literally stripping people's wealth from them. They're not going to stand for that. Like, it was complicated. It was nuanced. There were, you know, ways out of it. There's nothing complicated. There's nothing nuanced about this. All the federal government is trying to do at this point is deport illegal aliens and put criminals in jail. That's it. That's all they're doing. Now, when rioters show up and start planting explosives on ICE vehicles or start ramming ICE vehicles with their own cars or start shooting ICE officers from hidden positions after starting a fire to draw them out, that's where all the trouble comes in. You're right, they shouldn't have to be there because you should do your damn job. There shouldn't be giant, you know, military forces deployed in American streets, but they have to because you won't do your goddamn job. So I really don't know, like, how much more simple this could be, but honestly, at this point, it sounds like they're in a state of insurrection. It sounds like they are trying to secede from the union. Now, as somebody who's in favor in general of secession, like I would love to see Texas be an independent state. I don't, and that has to do with high level, you know, what do we get from the Fed versus, you know, what do they get from us? Why are we the like fourth biggest economy in the world, but somehow we are not our own country because we can't handle it? Yeah, I'm in favor of like a peaceful divorce from the federal government by states with the will of the people, much in the same way Brexit was carried out. That's what I want. A not necessarily democratic, but, you know, certainly a plebiscite of some sort that would separate us willingly on both sides because we both understand that this little marriage between us is not going anywhere. Gee, it sure looks like it's time for a divorce. What, and in the terms of like national divorce, what would this be? This, you know, instead of just, hey, it's didn't work and we're going to have to peacefully separate. I'll take what's mine. You take what's yours. We'll make this work, get a settlement, stemmed. I mean, this is instead of allowing for a divorce, this is the wife emptying the bank accounts and setting the house on fire and putting poison in her husband's tea. And it's just like, why? Why are we doing this? What is the point? And how are we allowing this to continue? These people do not have a right to make their cities less safe. They do not have a right to abandon the oaths they took, their sacred obligations to protect the people that live in their cities from the criminals victimizing them or from the people from God knows where coming in and living there without permission. I mean, again, what are you even fighting for? I was listening the whole time. I heard one thing that they actually were saying that they were like stopping the federal government from doing, and that was separating children from their parents. I guess that is the big thing that they're hanging their hat on. Why did you start a second civil war? Well, the federal government was trying to take parents away from their children. And it's like, that sounds really bad. But is it A, happening, or B, bad? I don't think so. No, I really don't. It's actually not. Actually, the children can go home with the parents. Okay, so no separation. Problem solved. The children can go home with the parents. We did it. We solved the one problem that I guess is leading to civil war. Like, what the hell are we talking about here? I don't want there to be a civil war. I don't think there should be a civil war. I think, honestly, it probably wouldn't even be that bad of an outcome for us if it was. And this is the thing, like, people are like, what, are you going to go out and fight? First of all, God, please give me the chance. Please, for the love of God, I would just love to. Yes, please, I would love to be out in the field. But B, do we not have, like, the biggest army in the history of the world? Do we not have the biggest and most powerful military in the history of the world? Why are they all in Germany and Qatar? Why are they all in Switzerland and, you know, God knows where else? Why are they not here at home protecting the homeland from the invasion that we were subjected to 4 years ago? If they actually want a civil war, like, have they thought about what that actually means? Of course they have, because they keep threatening us with it. Because when we say, hey, we don't want to give up our guns, it's enshrined as our right given to us by God, is the second most important point in the Bill of Rights. They say, well, you're going to need F-15s because we're going to bomb the hell out of you. You don't have nuclear weapons, do you? Okay. Does the mayor of Chicago have nuclear weapons? Does the mayor of Chicago have F-16s? Does the mayor of Chicago have platoons of Green Berets and Army Rangers? No? Oh, but we do? Oh, okay, great. He wants a civil war? Really? No, they want to create the conditions for a civil war. They want to create the chaos and misery that precedes a civil war, assuming or believing that by 2028, either they're going to gain power and be able to, you know, order the army to go fire on American citizens without cause, or, you know, stage this giant nationwide shutdown by organizing all the unions to all go on strike on May 1st. Well, simultaneously, you have mobs of violent Antifa overthrowing municipal governments and installing communist, you know, Soviet commissions. So are we going to wait for that? Are we waiting for that inevitability, or should we just enforce law and order as is obligated by the Constitution? It's so unbelievably insane how we even got to this point. I'll tell you more about it on the other side. Chicago police ordered to ignore Border Patrol's agents' pleas for help while surrounded by an angry mob of protesters. Trump defies federal court, sends 300 California National Guard troops to Portland, Oregon. Quote, on their way now. You've got judges trying to put a stop to this. Folks, they're doing everything they possibly can to stop Trump from doing what he needs to right now to snuff this out while it's still a tiny little spark. What the left wants is for this to become a raging inferno, to where the only thing Trump could possibly do would be like full-fledged sending the military in and like shutting everything down and actually doing things that are going to have to, you know, limit our rights. Like, none of that has arrived yet. We're not at that point yet. We could still go in, take out the violent people, take out the funding mechanisms, take out the illegal immigrants, arrest the lifelong criminals, make our streets safe again, and then the army can go home. But the left won't let them do that. They won't let them carry out their lawful orders. They won't let them enforce our laws. They won't let us deport the illegal aliens because they want the crisis. They want the chaos. They thrive on it. We thrive on order. Why is the Trump administration not enforcing order with everything they've got?
Yeah, the last stand super sale. InfoWars could be shut down as soon as next week, today or tomorrow, actually, or even today. That's why we are launching this Last Stand Super Sale to fund the next operation and keep us in the fight in the information war. Buy any supplement at theyellowshowstore.com that's still funding InfoWars and get another bottle free while supplies last. That's a huge, biggest sell we can do. Plus, get 20% off store-wide. Woo! We've never done a sale. Actually, I'm reading this now. I've been so busy. I looked at the sale. This is the biggest sale ever. We've never done a sale this big, but we need your support now more than ever. Plus, some of this stuff's a lost leader. We know when you try the Ultimate Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Ultimate Life Force, the bovine colostrum, we got the best. If We have 80%+ reorder rates on this stuff. Nobody's got that, folks. Just try it. You're supporting the broadcast, and then you're going to love it. You're going to be hooked. It's why the drug dealers hand out Oxycontin to kids on the school ground, because they want to get them addicted. Well, that's poison. This is good. I just am telling you, will you please stick your toe in? The water's warm. This sale could end at any moment, so go now to thealexjonesstore.com, which I don't own, which Bigley owns, and so they're funding InfoWars and the new backup network, everything, so they can't shut that down. Thealexjonesstore.com. And take advantage of this amazing sale while ensuring we will never be taken off the air, even if they shut down this operation. InfoWars is just a name, but the InfoWar goes on. Remember, you are the InfoWar. Plus, download. Now, here's the big announcement. Bigley, again, owns the Alex Jones Network, all of it. And they launched this incredible app that shot up into the top of the charts in hours after being launched. I haven't looked since last night. But, you know, used to we had the number one app, remember, until they banned it. Number one in news. You think they like that? Well, we're back, sweethearts. And, and you know, ban this app. Watch what happens. You'll get a nice little Justice Department investigation. You're in a different wheelhouse now. You go to AlexJonesApp.com, AlexJones app.com. Boy, the sound of that name. Alex Jones. The Satanists don't like it. It's like high noon to vampires. App users get special sales, promos, and discounts every day as well. But listen to the show for free, video, audio, all of it at the URL that the globalists and the pedos and the Satanists hate. AlexJonesApp.com. Be sure to get the app right now, folks, and share it right now. When you support us, when you go to the AlexJonesStore.com, you aren't just funding this information that's key to the world. You're keeping us in the fight, and the enemy cannot stand it.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Back, folks. We got a lot of breaking news happening right now. Donald Trump is live and taking questions about what's happening in Chicago. So I want to go to that momentarily. But I just received this seconds ago from FBI Director Kash Patel. We recently uncovered proof that phone records of U.S. lawmakers were seized for political purposes. That abuse of power ends now. Under my leadership, the FBI will deliver truth and accountability and will never again be weaponized against the American people. This, along with a screenshot of a Fox News headline, Jack Smith tracked private communications calls of nearly a dozen GOP senators during J6 probe, FBI says. FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino briefed GOP senators Lindsey Graham, Josh Hawley, Ron Johnson, Marsha Blackburn, and more on Monday. Again, from Fox News, just breaking minutes ago. Former special counsel Jack Smith was reportedly tracking the private communications and phone calls of nearly a dozen Republican senators as part of his investigation into the January 6, 2020 Capitol riots, Fox News Digital has learned. A document reviewed by Fox News Digital revealed that Smith and his Arctic Frost team investigating January 6 were reportedly tracking the phone calls of GOP Senators Lindsey Graham, Marsha Blackburn, Ron Johnson, Josh Hawley, Cynthia Loomis, Bill Hagerty, Dan Sullivan, Tommy Tuberville, and GOP Rep. Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania. The document recently discovered by FBI Director Cash Patel and exclusively obtained by Fox News Digital is entitled CAST Assistance, C-A-S-T Assistance, and dated September 27th, 2023. That was pretty late into the Biden administration. CAST refers to the FBI's Cellular Analysis Survey Team. The document, which has the names of FBI agents involved redacted, marks the case ID as Arctic Frost Election Laws Matter, Sensitive Investigative Matter, CAST. So what do you know? That's extremely interesting. The document, reviewed by Fox News Digital, revealed that Jack Smith and his Arctic Frost team investigating January 6th were reportedly tracking the phone calls of Lindsey Graham and others. The document states the names of the lawmakers that the FBI special agent on Smith's team conducted preliminary toll analysis on the toll records associated with the lawmakers. Oh, so they're tracking their movements as well. The FBI official told Fox News Digital that Smith and his team tracking the senators were able to see which phone numbers they called, the location the phone call originated in, and the location where it was received. A source says the calls were likely in reference to the vote to certify the 2020 election. Wow. Marsha Blackburn is one of the people that was followed or surveilled. Arctic Frost was opened inside the Bureau April 13th, 2022. Smith was appointed as special counsel to take over the probe in November 2022. Fox News Digital has learned that FBI Director, Deputy Director Dan Bongino is briefing those lawmakers on the discovery of Smith's surveillance Monday afternoon on Capitol Hill. A source said Bongino and FBI Director Patel felt it was important to brief the senators as soon as possible after the discovery of the record. It's a disgrace that I have to stand on Capitol Hill and reveal this, that the FBI was once weaponized to track the private communications of U.S. lawmakers for political purposes. Bongino told Fox News Digital that era is over. Is it? Oh, good. Oh, good. That era is over. Good. Yeah, totally not. Totally not a precedent that we should be taking advantage of. Now, I'm sure nothing would come of it if you were to tap the phones of Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer. I'm sure you wouldn't find anything interesting there. Sure, I'm glad we're the principled side of things. FBI officials told Fox News Digital the newly discovered records were pursuant to an oversight request by Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Patel and Bongino personally directed additional review of the Arctic Frost case after Grassley's request. An FBI official told Fox News Digital that Arctic Frost is a prohibited case and that the review required FBI officials to go above and beyond in order to deliver on this promise of transparency. The discovery is part of a broader ongoing review, Fox News Digital has learned. The American people deserve the truth, and under my leadership, they will have it, Patel told Fox News Digital. We promise accountability for those who weaponize law enforcement, and we will deliver it. Okay, so the question is, what comes next? What comes next? I guess the question is, when is Jack Smith going to be indicted, arrested, and imprisoned for falsely portraying himself as a, you know, official appointed by the United States government? Because he never was. I mean, he was never approved by the Senate. He did not go through the process that one would have to go through to have a position or, you know, organizing any investigation, let alone such a wide-reaching and ill-defined set of cases for Jack Smith. Remember, Jack Smith, he was part of the, you know, the Georgia RICO case, about a phone call to Georgia, about, you know, the mystery of the water main breaking at midnight that didn't actually break, and we're going to stop counting votes, but then they kept counting them just without any oversight. Remember all of that, just blatant criminality, blatant malfeasance that occurred in front of everybody that we all knew was rigged the day that it happened as we watched it unfold in real time. Remember all of that? That was one of the cases that he was placed on, but he was also, you know, going after Trump over January 6th and something else. I mean, what happened here, in a word, in a, you know, to understand this completely in a holistic way, what happened here was that Merrick Garland picked a disgraced guy, some lawyer somewhere who's working at the UN about chemical weapons or war crime tribunal. He picked some guy that he knew could be an attack dog and who had already successfully destroyed the political livelihood of a man in Virginia previously. We went over this a million times, but if you haven't been watching for a while, Jack Smith's entire past history was that he spent like years going after this Virginia congressman. I think it was a congressman, Virginia politician of some sort, who was on track to be the governor of Virginia, accused him of some sort of political crime, destroyed his reputation, cost him millions of dollars, stopped him from, you know, running for office. And at the end of the day, everything he ever did was completely overturned by higher courts. Nothing stuck. The man was totally innocent the entire time, but he'd had his life destroyed. It cost him millions of dollars and all of his political capital. And then it came to nothing, but the job was done. The man, you know, didn't go to jail because he was innocent, but he had his life destroyed and he was effectively punished for, you know, daring to stand up against Jack Smith's masters. And then Jack Smith went over to the UN and became some sort of judge or something with criminal rights violations, only to be recalled back to America and told basically go after Trump. Do whatever you want. Get Trump on whatever you can. And that's what Jack Smith did. So that's not how our system works. That's completely illegal. Should have never happened. And by the way, everything that was talked about in 2020 and the election being stolen were actual crimes that were completely uninvestigated, totally were played down and ignored by the people in power who should have looked out for those. So he goes after, he just brings this person back, says, you are now a special counsel. You are now a special investigator. No oversight from the Senate. No ability to do this constitutionally. He just did it. And then Jack Smith portrayed himself as if he had gone through the process of being approved by the Senate and, you know, being appointed like Robert Mueller or any of these other people that, you know, as corrupt as they were, at least checked the boxes on their way to the positions that they, you know, eventually abused. And so they bring this guy in, say, go after everybody. And apparently on top of just creating three different cases against Trump about three entirely different supposed crimes that never actually existed in the first place, he also was surveilling and getting the metadata on phone calls of U.S. senators, every one of whom is a Republican. Every one of them is a Republican, and he is tracking, without their knowledge, their phone calls and their movements. So again, to the question, when is he going to prison? When's he going to go to prison? Former special counsel Jack Smith warns that the rule of law is under attack. Isn't that rich? Isn't that something? The man who launched three simultaneous investigations against the former president, every one of which was totally baseless, for which he did not have authority to launch a single investigation, let alone three. He's the one warning us that the rule of law is under attack. The man who clandestinely gathered the phone call data of sitting representatives has the temerity to come out and act like he's the victim of an overreaching government. Okay, throw him in prison. I mean, again, the easiest thing in the entire world, Arctic Frost, the entire thing was completely politicized and outrageous action by the law enforcement in this country. Everybody involved has to go to jail and should be in jail already. What are you doing, Trump? What are you doing? I swear to God, we're going to be here next year, and it's going to be like, did you know that Jack Smith spied on Lindsey Graham's phone? And we're going to be like, yes, we knew this a year ago. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know what these people are doing. I really don't. Good on Cash Patel for releasing this, but like, okay, and why isn't he arrested? Smith, after months of investigating, charged President Trump in the U.S. District Court for D.C. in his 2020 election case. But after Trump was elected president, Smith sought to dismiss the case. Judge Tanya Chutkan granted that request. Smith's case cost taxpayer dollars more than $50 million. He stole $50 million from us to spy on our own representatives in a purely political abuse of power by our attorney general. And everybody named in this should be in jail. They should all be in jail already a long time ago. Now, Trump is apparently giving a press conference here where he's being asked about what's going on in Chicago. So let's go to that now, and we'll get back into more of this on the other side. Watchdog agency investigates ex-Trump prosecutor Jack Smith for alleged illegal political activity. Well, how much more do you want? How much more do you need? Everything these people did was illegal on the face of it, prima facie. How much more investigating do you need? Do you need the phone calls? Do you need the texts between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page where they admit everything that they did? Those people are still free. Do you need to be reminded exactly what Jack Smith did and who appointed him? Everybody involved in that. Totally free. Do you need to once again be presented the overwhelming evidence that the 2020 election was stolen? We've got all of that ready for you for the last half decade. But don't worry, guys. They're going to start an investigation any day now, I'm sure. It's completely absurd. Here's Donald Trump minutes ago from the Oval Office.
Right. Very severe. We're going to have very severe. We're going to find out who's going after our federal agents. So when you look at Chicago, they've had probably 50 murders in the last 6 or 7 months, 8 months. Many, many people shot, like 30, 40, 50 people shot. Didn't die, but they've been shot. It's like a war zone. And then I listen to the governor and the mayor get up and say how they have it under control. They don't. It's probably worse than almost any city in the world. You can go to Afghanistan, you can go to a lot of different places, and they probably marvel at how much crime we have. Then you go to Memphis, where we are right now. Now, just like in Washington, D.C. right now, you people know better than I do, because you have to live right inside. And so many of the press have come to me, and they've said, I can't believe it, it's changed so much. We have a safe city in Washington. Memphis will very soon have a safe city. Chicago can be very, very safe. It's going to be very safe. But Chicago is going to be very safe. And you say, why is it that a governor wouldn't accept free help from regardless? I mean, whether it's National Guard or the military or anybody. I mean, if women raped and beaten and knocked to hell, and the same with men where they're being shot all over the place in large numbers. I mean, we had a week in Chicago where 11 people were murdered and 38 people were shot. And then we have a governor get up and say, oh, it's safe. We can handle it. He can't handle it. He's an incompetent guy. That's why they threw him out of the family business. They threw him out. I knew the family business very well. And they threw him out. And now he's a governor. And he should say, we'd love to have a safer place. Chicago's a great city, potentially. You know, I told you, the head of the Union Pacific Railroad said, sir, save Chicago. It's a great city. It's going to be lost if you don't do it. We have no choice but to do this. And when judges give us rulings that, you know, you don't have to do it, Portland is on fire. Portland's been on fire for years. And not so much saving it. We have to save something else, because I think that's all insurrection. I really think that's really criminal insurrection. So I appreciate the question. These are unsafe places. We're going to make them safe. So you see what's going on in Memphis. Not pretty, but you know what? We're doing a pretty job, because it's going to be a very safe place in a little while. And the people of Memphis are so happy that we're there. And the people of Chicago. So you have black women with MAGA hats on in Chicago, all over the place. They want the guard to come in, or they don't care who comes in. They just want to be safe. And they really don't care. You know, there was one woman, and she was great today. She said, you know what? I don't care if it's the National Guard, the Army, the Marines, the Air Force. I don't care who comes in, as long as we're safe. And that's the way most of the public feels. We're going to make Chicago really great again. And we're going to stop this crime. Then we're going to go to another one, and we're going to go city by city. We're going to have safe cities. And it was so great that we started with our nation's capital, one of the worst. I mean, so many people, every week somebody was killed. They'd come from Iowa. They'd come from Indiana. They want to see the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial. They want to see something, and they'd get shot. And you'd call their parents, I'm sorry, but your son is dead. And they go, what do you mean he's dead? Came to Washington, D.C. Not anymore. That's not happening anymore. We have a safe place. We have a safe capital. It's as safe as we have probably almost just about in the country. And if you look back 6 months ago, 7 months ago, this was a death trap. You look back during the Biden, I mean, what they did, how badly they managed things. And almost all of these cities, most of these cities are Democrat run. And we don't care, Democrat, Republican, we're going to make them safe. So we have to save Chicago. It's very important. And you can't have a governor getting up and saying it's good when 11 people were shot over a weekend.
All right, well, very powerful answer from Trump. Let's pause it there, guys, and we'll go back to hear the next question and see what Maury has to say. But let me back him up with a couple headlines here from October 4th. 5 dead, 25 wounded in Chicago weekend shootings, police say. At least 5 people were killed and 24 others wounded in weekend shootings in Chicago on Sunday. Yeah, we can handle it. We can handle this. I don't know. Who gets, are more people killed in Syria or Gaza or Chicago? I mean, it's the Middle East, but it's getting up there, folks. The ages of the victims range between 16 and 62. The first shooting of the weekend, police responded to a person around 7:45 at the 900 block of West 85th Street and found a man inside an apartment with a gunshot wound to the head. The victim was pronounced dead at the scene. And I'm not going to go through all 25, shootings in Chicago, but I could because maybe we need to be reminded one death is a tragedy. You know, 1,000 is a statistic. When you say 25 people shot, that's 25 ambulances being deployed, 25 crime scenes being broken down, 25 investigations being launched. If they actually find a perpetrator, that's 25 lawyers, being hired for 25 court proceedings. That's 25 lives utterly shattered, 25, months long physical therapy courses that they'll have to go through. I mean, it's brutal what's happening in American streets, and it's being allowed on purpose by these people. And the federal government, as much as I would love as a libertarian to say, hey, we need the federal government off the streets, this isn't their place, clearly the people in charge of these cities do not care about enforcing peace, do not care about enforcing the law, and are allowing their innocent civilians to be brutalized repeatedly by, in some cases, foreigners, but almost always by repeat criminals who we keep letting out of prison to kill and kill again. It is utterly insane. We do not need to live like this. American people are not obligated to live under terror and crime just because we have anti-Trump leadership in their cities. It's absurd. It's utterly ridiculous. We could go through all of them, but I got more examples. We are not messing around. More than 8,600 people have been arrested in an FBI campaign targeting violent crimes. The FBI and its partners have arrested 8,629 individuals across the United States as part of its summer heat campaign, the agency said in an October 2nd statement. More than 6,500 out of those 8,629 arrests fell under the FBI's violent crime and gang program, said the agency. We are not messing around, said FBI Director Cash Patel. Our number one mission is crushing violent crime. If you hurt a child, we're coming for you. If you jack a car, we're coming for you. Investigators looking into violent crimes against children have located or identified 1,053 minor victims as part of Operation Summer Heat. In addition, authorities have seized 2,281 weapons, 98,000 pounds of cocaine, and 928 pounds of fentanyl. Where is the local police? Where are the local police? Over 1,000 children victimized by the criminals that are allowed to run roughshod on our streets because the local police are either incapable or unwilling to stop them. So the feds come in, and I bet for those 1,053 children, I bet they're pretty happy that the feds showed up. I bet they're pretty glad. We don't even know the number of people who have been saved as a consequence of this fentanyl seizure. 928 pounds of fentanyl, that's enough to... I don't even know how much that's enough to kill probably everybody in the world. I mean, fentanyl is shockingly dangerous. Who knows how many overdoses were prevented as a consequence of these things being seized. So we don't even know the amount of crime that has been prevented. I mean, 8,600 people, 8,600 criminals in one area. Right? I mean, unless this is over everything, but oh, I guess this is okay. This is over everything. I was thinking this was just in Memphis. Regardless, rounding up a little, we might as well call it 10,000. Might as well call it 10,000 just because that's maybe an easier thing to picture. Maybe the crew can find a stadium with 10,000 people in it. And every single one of them, a criminal, 6,500 of them, violent criminals. And not just violent criminals that were released on parole or given a bond, 6,500 violent criminals who were out having committed crimes and never been caught, never been brought to justice, never been given a trial for the crimes they committed. God only knows how many crimes they'll commit. We showed the videos before that have broken down some of the numbers where you have, you know, 10,000 crimes all committed by the same 130 people or whatever it is. When criminals, especially when they know they can get away with things, especially when they know there's very little risk of actually ever being caught and brought to justice, they just commit crimes constantly. And you're going to tell me this is a bad, you're going to tell me this is the beginning of a civil war? It would be the weirdest civil war of all time. It would be the most bizarre start to a civil war ever. If a civil war starts because the federal government is arresting people acknowledged to be, there's no doubt about who these people are or why they're being arrested. Nobody's being arrested for having guns. Nobody's, you know, grabbing up guns. Nobody's arresting people for speech. Nobody's arresting people for their thoughts or anything that violates the Constitution. Imagine a civil war that starts because the government wants to arrest criminals and half the country is so brainwashed and retarded that they're fighting on behalf of the criminals. This is utter madness. It is complete insanity. Wait, let's go back to Trump. Let's see what he says in this next question.
What? The Insurrection Act? Under what conditions or terms would you...
Well, I do it if it was necessary. So far, it hasn't been necessary.
It is. It's necessary, Trump. Do it.
We have an Insurrection Act for a reason. If I had to enact it, I'd do that. If
people
were being
killed
and courts were holding us up or governors or mayors were holding us up, sure, I'd do that. I mean, I want to make sure that people aren't killed. We have to make sure that our cities are safe. And it's turning out... And we started with D.C., it's been so successful. Think of it. People wouldn't go to restaurants. The restaurants were closing. We were losing a lot of restaurants, as you all know. And now restaurants are opening and they're thriving. And I went 2 weeks ago and it was great. I'm going to go again. I felt very safe, very safe. Forgetting about guards and Secret Service, and I would have gone. It would have been very safe. D.C. is a great... And look at the cleanliness of D.C. Look at how it's clean. You don't have... tents all over the place. We had parks where you couldn't even walk through the park. You had people from tents, and there were violent people. Some of these people were violent people. We have a great, safe capital again. And if you look at it in 6 months from now, it'll be the most beautiful anywhere in the world. It's being cleaned. The graffiti's all gone now. The tents are all gone. It's we have a capital that you can be proud of, but it'll
so
only
that's
get
Trump
better.
Live just minutes ago. We'll go back to that because I wonder what other questions he answers. And I've heard from people, hell, the you know cameraman that went with Alex to D.C. this last time was like, it was unbelievable how transformed the city was. He was like, I've never seen a city like it. It was. It was perfectly clean. It was totally safe. It was like mind-blowing. They've arrested over 2,000 people in the nation's capital as a part of this push to clean up the streets. And who's complaining? They complained before. Who's complaining now? Where are the violations they kept promising about? They don't exist.
The receiver from the state is coming here tomorrow. I'm going to be friendly, but they're here to start the shutdown of InfoWars. So for all of you saying, oh, you'll survive forever. Well, they don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. That's why we're running the biggest sale in our history. Buy one, get one free of any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, you name it. The problem is they didn't have big supplies to catch 22. So a lot of the sale has had to end because things have sold out at the AlexJonesStore.com. The last stand super sale, 20% on top of buy one, get one free. But we do have ultramethylene blue liquid, the very best you're going to get. The ultimate sea moss gummies, the incredible super nutrient, amazing. And the Shilajit capsules, the very best. Trilogy. All these are super complex nutrients. You're insane if you don't get them. Just like our information is powerful, these products are incredible. 20% off store-wide on top of those sales. And if you have the app that we'll put on screen, alexjonesapp.com takes you right to Apple. The Droid launches in a few days. Number one in news, the top 150 of total apps in the world out of 1.6 million. alexjonesapp.com. If you buy through the shopping cart on the app, you get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free at AlexJonesApp.com. It's a free app on Apple. Despite them trying to delist it and block it, it's still surging. The AlexJonesStore.com. Access it through AlexJonesApp.com and get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free. And they're going to have to end the ultramethylene blue sometime probably tomorrow. Current sales rates is going to sell out. More comes in 3 weeks. They're going to have to end the CMOS gummy Springs in about 2 days, and the Sheila G in about three. So everything else is basically sold out, so they're going back to regular price, and they'll be totally sold out in a few days, period. But that funds the operation. Well, thanks for your support. TheAlexShowStore.com. But you are insane if you don't try the Ultra Methylene Blue. It will game change your life, and it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. It's game time.
So we're going to be joined by Wid Lyman in the third hour to talk even more about what he's experienced on the ground in places like Illinois, where these attacks on the federal agencies are being carried out. And let me say that one again. The attacks on federal facilities are being carried out. Trump, we just heard minutes ago from the Oval Office, say the Insurrection Act. I mean, if it gets to that point, if it gets to what point, what point would you like it to get to, sir? Can we have some clear, you know, lines drawn as to what justifies overt military action against the mobs of black-clad communists attacking ICE facilities with any weapon they can get their hands on?
And I totally agree, but it's the judiciary that's in the real insurrection. That's why Thomas Jefferson in 1802 passed the Judiciary Act, where the Supreme Court is co-equal with the legislative executive, not administrative Article III judges. And the left says it's an insurrection. They started this. So the whole point is we don't want totalitarianism, neither does Trump. The point is they're literally, the Chicago mayor saying, we're in open rebellion now. So if we sit here, we don't want this. We're selling freedom. We're popular. We don't need martial law. The problem is they're doing it because they're losing, and then it's dereliction of duty if Trump doesn't do it. People go, oh, Alex Jones, he's a police state expert. Now he's for it. Nobody's military training to take our guns and secretly brainwashing our sons to cut their dicks off. That's their whole covert operation. We're doing what's popular and constitutional, and I agree. They started the war. They assaulted us. They drew first blood. It's time to arrest them. I've told the White House privately. I've said it on air. If Trump turned around right now, they don't have the military that will do it. And if they actually wouldn't actually just like the Q people wish they would do, you know, a situation like this, and then instantly flips it back to the Constitutional Republic, because Trump doesn't want a tyranny. He's already been under one. This is the place they brought us. They brought us into the wheelhouse of this. We didn't do it. Great points.
Well, if we do it, the sooner we do it, the easier it will be. The longer it goes, the crazier it's going to get. It's gangrene.
We're getting our legs cut off here, folks. Exactly. How much are we going to take?
Well, they're pushing more and more. And again, this is great from Will Chamberlain. When I say Portland is in open rebellion against the federal government, this is what I mean. Federal authorities have to board up the federal building because the Portland police won't protect it. And instead of helping to protect the federal building, the city of Portland then issued the feds a zoning violation saying you're not allowed to board up this building. You're not allowed to protect yourself. Just like they say you're not allowed to wear a mask because they want the ICE agents to be identified so they can attack them at home. They are literally in a state of insurrection. They are working in every way they possibly can to make it more dangerous, to make it easier for the violent people to attack the feds. The people in power in these cities are doing this. The mayors, the chief of police, the city council themselves are in bed with Antifa. It's really not that complicated. I mean, hell, even like respected, one of the most respected historians alive today, Victor Davis Hanson, talks about reactionary neo-Confederate Portland. In blue cities across America, Portland, Oregon, especially, often violent protesters now seek to surround ICE facilities to stop federal officers from fulfilling their assigned and legal duties of arresting illegal aliens. Some 10 million or more illegal aliens were allowed to enter the U.S. during the Biden years illegally and thus without criminal or health checks. And, you know, that's the ultimate point, right? They talk about what Trump is doing in the terms of invasion. They're saying they're invading our state. The federal government is invading Chicago. No, the invasion was the tens of millions of illegal immigrants that you allowed into this country, purposefully circumventing the law, stretching the bounds of the law to absolute absurdity. Well, they're asylum seekers. They're seeking asylum. We're legally obligated to fulfill their demands. Well, how do you know? Well, they pressed the button on the app we had them download. They gave them an app. And they gave them, checkbox. Check if you're applying for asylum. Check. Great. Now you're allowed in the country and you're given a court date 7 years from now. And then you just fall off the face of the earth and nobody ever even looks for you. They staged a literal invasion that we now have to combat. But they're flipping the language and completely inverting it. More on the other side. We'll go back to Trump. He's talking about the peace deal this time. We'll move on. We'll return with Whit Lyman in the third hour.
Well, 48 hours ago, our sponsor, Bigly, launched Alex Jones app. Go to alexjonesapp.com and go right to the Apple Store. It's number one in the world in news, surpassing X, and is racing into the top 100 of total apps in the world. Great job, everybody. This is a real shot across the bow for the censors. That is a big deal. I mean, we're ahead of Disney. We're ahead of Uber. We're ahead of everything. We're ahead of X. Number one in news in the world. Takes years to do that with an app. We've been number one before when they banned us in 2018. That took 5-6 years to get to that. Number one in 48 hours. Incredible job. Keep sharing the feed. You can't search it. They don't let you search the app, which every other app you can find. But you just go to alexjonesapp.com, and that takes you right to the subpage of the Apple Store. It's totally free. Right there, alexjonesapp.com.
The outpost on the front lines of the information battlefield. War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, folks. All right, we're going to move on because we're going to have to return to this with Lyman to get the, on the ground, what it's like actually to be there in the midst of really the opening stages of what could very well become a full-fledged civil war. You've got, when you have Hillary Clinton tweeting things about states' rights, everything is retarded and upside down. But apparently Trump has said some other stuff during this little press conference that he's holding that we'll have to go to. I spent this whole hour, the whole first hour, I didn't even plug, folks. You got to follow us on X at AJ and Live. You got to download the app, alexjonesapp.com. You got to go to the alexjonesstore.com. We still have the last stand sale is on right now. So you're getting massive discounts on just about everything, including some brand new merch, including, featuring the Alamo, which I think is one of the coolest shirts we've come out with in a very long time, which is saying something because we have a lot of really awesome merchandise on sale there, thealexjonesstore.com. No matter what happens with InfoWars, and we know there's going to be agents of the state here tomorrow to God knows what, walk us through our demise, I guess. But regardless, they can't get their hands on the alexjonesstore.com. They don't own the alexjonesstore.com, and whatever comes next will be powered by the alexjonesstore.com. Go there today for the last stand super sale. You're getting 20% off store-wide, as well as an additional savings, especially if you're a member of the VIP club. Let's go back to Trump. Let's start off where we were, because I understand he made a note about his about the peace plan that's been offered, and I wanted to get into that anyway. Or should we go to this? Let's go to this one first, and then we'll go back to the peace plan, because I've got stuff I want to talk about when it comes to Israel, but I hadn't planned on talking about this. All right. Go ahead and pull in that individual clip. This press conference was live, so we're grabbing clips and playing it live and trying to scramble. So let's just go back to the press conference where we left off, where I believe he was asked a question about the peace deal between Israel and Gaza. Let's watch.
October 7th, the two-year anniversary of the original Israeli attack. Do you expect a Gaza deal tomorrow or any sort of hostage?
I think we're going to have it soon. I think we're going to have a deal. It's a hard thing for me to say that when for years and years they've been trying to have a deal with Gaza. But, literally for centuries, okay, if you really think about it. But we're going to have a Gaza deal, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
About the talks.
Well, I'm the one that got the hostages back. Remember that, I'm the one that.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, I got them back.
Israeli citizens are celebrating what you've accomplished in this deal. should it come through, there will be a lot of celebration on the streets of Israel. The hostages' families, have they been in contact with you with regard to this deal that could happen?
They're so happy about it. It's like they can't breathe. One said, I can't breathe. You know, it's very sad because you have hostages and you have people that are no longer living. But the parents, and I've said this to you many times, the parents want the bodies of their boy back, the bodies of, you know, their loved one back. In most cases, they're young men, and they're dead. And there's probably 32 or so, about that number. Nobody knows exactly what the number is. They want that body back as much as if their son were alive. I've been with them. You know, many have come to the White House, to the Oval Office. I've been with many of the people that I got released. We have a fantastic group working on it. Steve Witkoff has been amazing. I have Jared. I took Jared out because Jared's a very, you don't find anybody more capable. And we have the A-plus team working on it. I think we've made tremendous progress. The people of Israel, want it to happen. But the people related to hostages, you see in Israel tens of thousands of people. They really want the hostages back, and they really want things to end. And I think Hamas now has been, all I can say is they've been fine. They've been fine. I hope it's going to continue that way. I think it will. I really think we're going to have a deal. We have a really good chance of making a deal, and it'll be a lasting deal. We want to have peace. This is beyond Gaza. Gaza is a big deal, but this is really peace in the Middle East. And the amazing thing is we have every Arab country, every Muslim country, we have every country surrounding. They all want. I spoke with President Erdogan of Turkey. He's fantastic. He's been pushing very hard. He's a very powerful guy. And he's been pushing very, very hard to get this deal done. And Hamas has a lot of respect for him. They have a lot of respect for Qatar. They have a lot of respect for UAE and Saudi Arabia. We have everybody is on our side to get this deal done. There's never been anything like it. Nobody's ever seen it. There's always been like 80% of them don't want something done. I think virtually we even had a signal, a very strong signal, as you know, from Iran. They'd like to see this done.
Okay, so let's pause right there, and we'll go back to that, because again, he talks about Ghislaine Maxwell in a second. I want to get to that, but sounds like he's very hopeful about this deal. I mean, originally when it was announced, it was 48 hours. I think that was a week ago. Now, so obviously he's being pretty patient with Hamas, which means he thinks that something is going to come of this. How Israel feels about it is a little bit up in the air. Over the weekend, Trump said, you know, you have to stop bombing Gaza. Israel didn't stop bombing Gaza. Also, with this peace deal agreement, Trump says it's not just about Gaza. It's about all of the Middle East, including incorporating the West Bank into that and, you know, possibly paving the way for some sort of more stable, whether it be a two-state solution or not, some sort of stable future. Israel and Hamas began indirect talks in Egypt on Trump's Gaza peace plan. So this was 4 hours ago. Apparently Israel and Hamas are actually having indirect talks now. So we're actually seeing positive developments here. And I wonder if this doesn't have something to do with the PR nightmare that Israel finds itself in. And I want to get into that later and further explore how exactly Israel is trying to use its influence here in America to make its way into the future more easily. I don't know. I'm going to have to look into the actual stipulations of the agreement as it stands now, or see where it goes from here with Hamas and Israel both maybe, you know, tweaking the agreement to their own ends. But this seems to me like not what Israel wanted. Israel very clearly wanted to take over Gaza. And in fact, I have a story from October 30th, 2023 about leaked Israeli government plans to expel all Palestinians from Gaza and send them to Europe and Canada. And so this, of course, was published just a couple weeks after the October 7th attack. But clearly from long before the attack happened, I mean, the ultimate plan was total takeover of Gaza, incorporation into Israel, basically just making it to where the Palestinians don't exist there, and it's entirely Israeli land, the same as Tel Aviv or Haifa or anywhere else that they're, you know, fully in control. That was always the plan. That was always the intention. It doesn't seem like that's worked. It doesn't seem like that has come about. And it seems like maybe now they're tempering their goals, although apparently the Likud party has threatened to completely oust Netanyahu if he accepts this deal. So again, according to Trump and according to everything I've heard, Israel is the sticking point here. Everybody else in the region is for it, including Hamas, even showing that they're willing to make concessions and make a deal here. So forever, we've heard it's about getting the hostages back and, you know, getting rid of Hamas. Well, both of these things, more or less, are in this peace deal. If Israel doesn't accept it, it's, you know, really, it will be the most obvious official statement from them that peace was never the plan. It was always to completely eradicate and then, you know, eradicate the population and then annex Gaza in total. We do have some videos of this. We can go to clip four here. This is Gaza by drone, and we can go ahead and roll this as background. Israeli drone footage reveals the scale of destruction in Gaza. Let's go ahead and roll that. And you can just see that it stretches as far as the eye can see. Absolute, total, complete devastation. Not a single building standing. I mean, truly beyond belief. Beyond my imagination. And it just goes as far as the eye can see. Nothing but grayish brown rubble. And they're still going, and they don't, and it's not done yet. And they're just getting started, folks. Now the real operation begins, right? It's like, what more can you do to this area? What more could you possibly do? Of course, what you don't see in that video are the underground tunnels where Hamas mainly operates and lives and exists. So, you know, they weren't actually hurt very much by the endless bombing campaigns. That was mostly civilians. Something like 80 to 85% of the people killed during this entire conflict have been not just non-combatants, but women and children. And then you add in the men that also aren't Hamas, you know, basically nobody from Hamas has actually been hurt. And according to French President Emmanuel Macron, Hamas is just as strong today as they were on October 7th. So that was never the goal. Just understand that that was never the goal. The goal was always to expel these people from the land and take it in completely. And it appears as though they've failed in that. So I wonder where it goes from here, especially with them losing control of Europe and, you know, Europe, you know, bucking against them, as well as, you know, their desperate attempt to take over communication here in America. We'll get into that a little bit more later. And we'll do that in just a second. But I do understand we have one more video to go to from this press conference from Donald Trump. And, let's listen here. This is Donald Trump. The story today is that the Supreme Court has refused to hear arguments from Ghislaine Maxwell protesting her conviction, 20-year sentence for human trafficking. Now, Trump has made a comment on this. Let's watch, shall we?
It's term today, Mr. President.
Say it.
The Supreme Court is back and said that they rejected today an appeal by Ghislaine Maxwell to overturn her conviction. That means her only chance of getting out of prison is a pardon from you. Is that something you're...
Who are we talking about?
Ghislaine Maxwell.
You know, I haven't heard the name in so long. I can say this, that I'd have to take a look at it. I would have to take a look. Did they reject that?
She wanted to appeal her conviction.
And what happened?
They said that they were not going to hear her appeal.
I see. Well, I'll take a look at it. I will speak to the DOJ. I wouldn't consider it or not consider it. I don't know anything about it. So, I will speak to the DOJ.
Why would she be a candidate for clemency, sir?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to speak to the DOJ. I'll look at it. I have a lot of people have asked me for pardons. I call him Puff Daddy has asked me for a pardon.
But she was convicted of child sex trafficking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to take a look at it. I have to ask DOJ. I didn't know they rejected it. I didn't know she was even asking for it, frankly.
Okay, that wasn't as bad as I thought. That wasn't as bad as I thought. The headline made it sound a little bit worse. But how does he not know about Ghislaine Maxwell? How does he not know what's going on with her? How does he not know about this? Like, that is not great. Not great. But I'm trying to think of, like, how else he could have responded. I don't know. Trump, I mean, it's smart if you're, you know, a businessman or the president of the United States, if you don't actually know about something, if he genuinely, like, isn't aware of Ghislaine Maxwell. And I guess, you know, why would he be? I mean, it is sort of the albatross around the neck of his administration, so you would think he'd be more aware, but I guess I can understand how he'd just be like, well, it's not yes or no. I don't know what you're talking about, so I'm going to have to look at it. It wasn't as bad as it seemed to be portrayed in the headlines. Still not great. Still not great. And again, you just have to, it's like, why can he not just stand on principle on this? Like, what is the threat of just outright condemning and refusing to even give the barest acknowledgement to Ghislaine Maxwell? Like, why does he seem so, like, he's walking on eggshells when it comes to this stuff? The appropriate response would have been, are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? Yeah. Well, not about him in particular, more about the, Mossad blackmail ring that seems to be having a lot of influence on your administration, sir. Yes, we are talking about that still. I mean, what would the harm be of him going, Ghislaine Maxwell? Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile girlfriend? Yeah, no, I'm not pardoning her. No, absolutely not. What would be the harm in doing that? Why would he not do that? Again, I get why Trump says some of the things he says, but I can see it now already. I know that now that clip is going to be famous. That clip is going to come up all the time now. It's going to be this constant thing. Well, why did he say he was going to pardon her? You would like Trump, but he's saying he's going to pardon Ghislaine Maxwell. How can you like that? I just know from now on that's going to be the thing, because there already was a clip like that where, again, he gets asked about Ghislaine Maxwell back when he was, I think it was when he was president the first time. And they're like, what do you think about Ghislaine Maxwell being arrested? And he's like, who? I wish her the best. Good luck. And people are like, he wished her the best? It's like, it's a turn of phrase. He's just saying good luck. He's saying so long. Yeah, like, it's not an endorsement. It's not him, she's my good friend and I really hope she gets out of it. No, he's just like, oh, she's going to jail. Well, wish her the best. Good luck there, friend. And it was just never anything. But it's still something that people still bring up to this day out of nowhere a lot of times. A lot of times it's, they're just like looking for something to criticize Trump for. And it's like, well, he did say to Ghislaine Maxwell that he wished her the best. Okay. All right. He probably wished her Merry Christmas once 20 years ago, too. It doesn't mean that he really wants her to have a Merry Christmas. It's just a thing somebody says. It's just get over it. But now there's just, they've reloaded it. Now there's, another spool of ammo in the Trump is, an Israeli puppet, which I can't even argue against at this point. It's just like, why would he not just say no? Why would he not just say no? I'm going to have to look at it. You're going to have to look at this, Donald Trump. Ghislaine Maxwell, the spy, the daughter of Robert Maxwell, the triple agent, the Soviet, Israeli, UK agent whose daughter inherited his intelligence position and was really instrumental in running the concubine network of Jeffrey Epstein. You're going to have to look at her thing. Oh, my God. It is really infuriating. It's really infuriating how we can't just get, because obviously the Supreme Court was going to reject this. There was no reason not to reject it. Nothing has happened to change the outcome of her case other than the FBI lying about Jeffrey Epstein, the Trump administration saying BS about Jeffrey Epstein. That's the only reason that Ghislaine Maxwell would even think that she would get a case in front of the Supreme Court. Because you've got the head of the FBI and other members of the Trump administration going out and saying there are no tapes. There are no people that the victims were trafficked to. There was no, pornography that he made. It was all downloaded from the internet. And it's like, okay, they went out and said that. I guess probably that was the reason that Ghislaine Maxwell was like, well, if that's the case, then why am I in prison? It's a problem of your own creation. Again, it's not even about Ghislaine Maxwell. It's like, what are you doing, Trump? What are you doing that you don't know that Ghislaine Maxwell is talking to Todd Blanche, by the way, the guy who everybody says on the inside is stopping a lot of what the Trump administration is trying to do, the assistant attorney general, I believe, Todd Blanche. He's one that interviewed Ghislaine Maxwell, asked her 100 questions, said she didn't plead the fifth on any and answered them all truthfully. So he apparently is working with Ghislaine Maxwell to try to frame it as if she is somehow deserving of a pardon. Like, on one hand, I understand why, as president, you don't just almost ever want to give a yes or no answer. And as frustrating as that might be, I get it, and it's probably good for him to be that way. About a lot of things. You always want a little wiggle room. You always want to be able to, you know, juke and dive and change your direction. Yeah, Todd Blanche's past hangs over him as top DOJ official on Epstein case. He's the one that interviewed Ghislaine Maxwell and basically was behind her, you know, trying to undo her conviction in the first place. This is one of those things that it's like, it's one thing if it's Trump. It's one thing if it's Trump not focusing on this. He's got world wars he's trying to stop. He's got tariff agreements he's working out with Brazil and all these other places. I get it. None of his assistants said, oh, by the way, sir, Ghislaine Maxwell is trying to retry her case in Supreme Court. If the question comes up, go ahead and just say no. Is that really so hard? Like, we've gone from Joe Biden having every question and answer scripted out, where he would do one press conference every 6 months, and he would go, I'm supposed to call on Lisa from Reuters. You're going to ask me about the Navy, so go ahead. And then, like, the camera behind him sees not just the question but the answer as well. We've gone from totally scripted, totally fraudulent, for the most part, completely silent White House to Donald Trump answering questions about topics that he hasn't even been briefed on and doesn't even know about. What are we doing here? I think there's a nice middle ground. I think there's a nice middle ground between a silent president that only reads scripted responses to predetermined questions, okay, and Donald Trump flying blind and taking questions from people about topics he doesn't know about and giving answers that are going to haunt him for years. Can we not have a 2-minute briefing before a public appearance where they say, hey, Trump, here's the biggest story in the news today? It's one of the top stories in the news, the Supreme Court and Ghislaine Maxwell. I wasn't planning on covering it because it's all a ridiculous distraction anyway. She should be in jail for life. I don't even know why we hear from her ever. It's all a giant, deliberate confusion with the Jeffrey Epstein case and trying to distract over here. And, whoa, she gave interviews. Maybe she's a good guy. Oh, I don't know. Maybe we should let her out. She could give us more information. It's just like, no. She should be in a women's prison in upstate Washington, and we can leave her there until she rots. Okay, that's the only thing that should be done with Ghislaine Maxwell. And somebody on Trump's team needs to tell him when giant news about Ghislaine Maxwell is dominating headlines so he doesn't make a fool of himself and say that he might pardon her. Oh, my God. Jesus, I mean, really, is that so hard? Sir, Ghislaine Maxwell just got her case rejected by Supreme Court. People are probably going to ask you about pardon. It's safe just to say no. Okay, go ahead, sir. That's it. Literally three second intervention from anybody in Trump's circle would have prevented what is now going to be, I guarantee you, a giant, very annoying talking point that's probably going to bother me for the next 4 years. Every time I talk about Trump, it's going to be like, oh, but remember he said he was going to pardon Ghislaine Maxwell, though? That's why you give them this ammo. Why do you let them take your statements out of context? When somebody convicted of human trafficking who has a long and storied history working for foreign intelligence agencies, the mistress of Jeffrey Epstein, the most famous and prolific pedophile in American history, asked for a pardon. Say no, Trump. Just say no. Is it so hard? Oh, my God. This is the problem with Trump, man. It's like he's so good on most things, but you can't say no when it comes to Ghislaine Maxwell. Oh, pardon Ghislaine Maxwell? What, the woman who trafficked humans? No, I'm not giving her a pardon. Next question. We're going to have to see these pictures everywhere now. I guarantee you. Should we find out? Should we go to, like, let's see what, like, CNN is? I guarantee you. I can pretty much guarantee you at this point there's going to be major headlines on every, you know, major mainstream media outlet. Donald Trump says he might pardon Ghislaine Maxwell because he wasn't briefed, because he wasn't kept up to date on one of the three top stories in the entire country right now. The fact that Ghislaine Maxwell is trying to go to the Supreme Court, the fact that they rejected her, and the fact that she was trying to get pardoned. How does he not know this? There you go. Independent top line bafflingly tells reporters.
Yeah, the last stand super sale. InfoWars could be shut down as soon as next week, today or tomorrow, actually, or even today. That's why we are launching this Last Stand Super Sale to fund the next operation and keep us in the fight in the information war. Buy any supplement at thealexjonesstore.com that's still funding InfoWars and get another bottle free while supplies last. That's a huge, biggest sell we can do. Plus, get 20% off store-wide. Woo! We've never done a sale. Actually, I'm reading this now. I've been so busy. I didn't look at the sale. This is the biggest sale ever. We've never done a sale this big, but we need your support now more than ever. Plus, some of this stuff's a lost leader. We know when you try the Ultimate Flame Blue, the Shilajit, the Ultimate Life Force, the Bovine Colostrum, we got the best. If we have 80%+ reorder rates on this stuff. Nobody's got that, folks. Just try it. You're supporting the broadcast, and then you're going to love it. You're going to be hooked. It's why the drug dealers hand out Oxycontin to kids on the school ground because they want to get them addicted. Well, that's poison. This is good. I just am telling you, will you please stick your toe in? The water's warm. This sale can end at any moment, so go now to thealexjonesstore.com, which I don't own, which Bigley owns, and so they're funding InfoWars and the new backup network, everything, so they can't shut that down. Thealexjonesstore.com. And take advantage of this amazing sale while ensuring we will never be taken off the air, even if they shut down this operation. InfoWars is just a name, but the InfoWar goes on. Remember, you are the InfoWar. Plus, download. Now, here's the big announcement. Bigley, again, owns the Alex Jones Network, all of it, and they launched this incredible app that shot up into the top of the charts in hours after being launched. I haven't looked since last night, but, you know, used to we had the number one app, remember, until they banned it. Number one in news. You think they like that? Well, we're back, sweethearts. And, and you'll ban this app. Watch what happens. You'll get a nice little Justice Department investigation. You're in a different wheelhouse now. You go to AlexJonesApp.com. AlexJones app.com. Boy, the sound of that name. Alex Jones. The Satanists don't like it. It's like high noon to vampires. App users get special sales, promos, and discounts every day as well, but listen to the show for free, video, audio, all of it at the URL that the globalists and the pedos and the Satanists hate, alexjonesapp.com. Be sure to get the app right now, folks, and share it right now. When you support us, when you go to the alexjonesstore.com, you aren't just funding this information that's key to the world. You're keeping us in the fight, and the enemy cannot stand it. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We got a lot to talk about still today, including Antifa fleeing the country. That's pretty hilarious. But let's get into Israel, shall we? I got a lot of videos about Israel, and in fact, on the same topic that we were previously discussing, got a little breakdown of Israel ignoring Trump's warnings. Let's go to clip number 9 here. This happened over the weekend. Trump promised to retaliate, or he basically made very, strident demands, saying Israel has to stop bombing Gaza now. they, in response, continued to bomb Gaza. Let's watch.
Who would have guessed that Israel would continue to bomb the Gaza Strip immediately after President Trump demanded them to stop amid his new peace plan? On Monday, Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu held a press conference to discuss a 20-point Gaza peace plan. The requirements were immediate ceasefire, the release of all hostages, a phased withdrawal of Israeli troops at the Gaza Strip, a government to replace Hamas, and an eventual disarmament of all militant factions. Although UN experts condemned the plan because of violation with international law and the principles of Palestinian self-determination by allowing Israel to retain security control inside the Gaza Strip even after its supposed withdrawal, Hamas agreed to the deal with exceptions against total demilitarization and rejected any system that would put Gaza under foreign control. On Friday, Trump publicly demanded that Israel stops the war by ceasing all bombs. After Hamas said they would release all hostages, what did Israel do? Continue to blow up the Gaza Strip all Friday night and Saturday. 74 more innocent civilians dead in a 24-hour period, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, including families that were sheltering in what they were told were safe zones. Eyewitnesses described the strikes as merciless, and footage shows entire city blocks being reduced to dust. Israeli officials have framed these new strikes as preventative actions against remaining Hamas units, the same type of language that's been used repeatedly throughout the war to justify ongoing assaults during declared pauses. Regional mediators and UN officials have condemned the attacks as a direct violation of the proposed truce and as evidence of Israel's unwillingness to comply with its own commitments. A UN field official told reporters on Saturday that every time there is talk of peace, the bombs start up again. Israel has never respected ceasefires. Every time our attention drifts, bombs come down again, justified by the same rhetoric of self-defense, even though it's Gaza that has sustained almost all of the casualties. Still, Israel faces no consequences, especially not from America, not from the Republican Party, not from Congress, and not from our president.
So that was a video by Ella Malding, Ella Malding on X, and she does some great work. And of course, everything she said there is absolutely true. And they're also, simultaneously bombing Lebanon with who they're supposed to have a ceasefire agreement. And, you know, I think a part of it is just sort of, you know, showing Trump who's boss. Oh, you make a demand? Well, do something about it. And then he never does anything about it. So, you know, this is very interesting, kind of uncharted waters that we're entering into here. And no pun intended, they just arrest Greta Thunberg, too, in her flotilla. And I don't really know what Israel is planning on. Like, it seems to me like maybe just out of sheer necessity, they're like, okay, maybe we got to accept this peace deal. They're figuring out a different method to do things. I really don't know where they're going to go from here. They're in a lot of trouble. They're in a lot of trouble specifically because of their own actions, because of their own behavior. And what they're trying to do to get back the sort of supremacy that they once enjoyed in American media is not going to work. It's not going to work. Yes, from Times of Israel, Trump said to tell Netanyahu in tense phone call after Hamas responded to Gaza deal, "You're always so effing negative. This is a win." It's like, not for Israel. No, they wanted all of Gaza. They wanted to send everyone in Gaza to Europe. That was their plan. It's been their plan since well before, but at least October 2023. So this isn't a win for them whatsoever. They haven't destroyed Iran. They haven't even taken out Iran's ability to weaponize nuclear material. They've just pissed off the entire world and kind of achieved nothing. Kind of haven't done anything successfully, if you really think about it. I mean, they killed a bunch of people. They did do that. But, Greater Israel seems probably farther away now than it did on October 8th. So what was this all for exactly? Again, the Likud party has said if Netanyahu accepts the deal, then they're going to, you know, force him out of office. He gets forced out of office. I mean, he's already under immense legal pressure. It'll consume him at that point. So we'll see. Right now, it's more or less a tug of war, a battle between the hyper-radical Jewish supremacist mess. I don't even know what you'd call it. end-of-the-world apocalyptic death cult known as Likud and that, you know, side of things versus everybody else in the world, basically. It's kind of how it seems like it's breaking up to be. And again, Israel fears, for very good reason, the way things are going in America these days, the direction that the American people are moving. And they're trying everything they possibly can to psyop you into thinking that this is somehow Qatar's fault or Tucker Carlson is doing this all single-handedly. It really is cliche, and I hate to, you know, contribute to it, but is there no impulse anywhere for even a modicum of self-reflection? Even just a little bit? I mean, this has, again, been going on forever, and we've been saying the same thing for a year and a half at this point, but you've got Israel going, everybody's turning against Israel. What could this be? It's like, I don't know, all of the babies you're killing. What are you talking about? I mean, it's kind of like the Chicago thing. They're like, they want to start a civil war. And we're just like, just throw your criminals in prison. What is so hard about this? With Israel, it's like, just stop being terrible. Stop killing all of the innocent people and nobody would have a problem with you. And I've been over this a million times, but like, it's the reason they always portray so-called anti-Semitism, which of course can be as benign as criticizing the state of Israel, conducting a genocide. By framing that, constantly reasserting that anti-Semitism is a mental illness, it's an insanity, it's some sort of metaphysical manifestation of hate that has no explanation and cannot be blamed on anything real, then you're setting people up to basically follow you down this suicidal adventure that you're going on. Because the reality is, it is Israel's behavior. It is what they're doing. It's the way that they're handling things. It's the way that they're responding to criticism. That's what's making people hate you. But as long as you cannot acknowledge that, you cannot say that's the case. You have to assume it's being forced into people's minds. Anti-Semitism, criticizing Israel in any possible way, comes from just a sense of madness, unmoored, baseless, frenetic hate that has no purpose, and it doesn't matter how nice Israel is, doesn't matter how nice the Jewish lobbies are, it doesn't matter, people will hate them forever. But it's like, okay, then why is the hate accelerating? Then why is the hate growing so much? It's because of your actions. So they have to convince you that it has nothing to do with their actions, and that it's entirely, you know, inborn and genetic almost. That way, you know, they'll never have to change. They'll never have to change their approach. And again, it's getting to a desperate and frankly ridiculous place. But I'll show you what they fear. What they fear is like this, clip 20. Congressman in America starting to realize that his voters hate AIPAC more than they like him. Let's watch.
What are you doing about the starving children in Gaza? What are you doing?
Taking money from AIPAC. With respect, that's something that has infiltrated our government.
AIPAC money.
Watch Congressman Jake Auchincloss discover in real time that his voters know he's bought and paid for by the Israeli lobby.
I wondered whether if you had not accepted AIPAC money, whether you'd change your feeling about speaking about Israel-Palestine.
I think we, as citizens and as policymakers, have to hold in our heads competing convictions and ideas.
Me personally, I'm concerned with AIPAC, and I was just wondering if you particularly or anyone you know of has any plans to try to reduce this problem.
What are you doing to prevent the use of our taxes to starve and kill people in Gaza?
Yeah. You were elected by us.
I've addressed Israel and Gaza now on, I think, three separate occasions, so we're going to keep moving on.
So I know you don't really want to take any more questions about Gaza, but I'm going to ask you to think about it.
Starvation is not what my tax dollars should go to.
I hear the sense of emotional urgency behind Gaza. I've addressed that issue. I'm not going to continue to address the issue.
I want to know, aside from taking money from AIPAC, with respect, that's something that has infiltrated our government.
What are you going to do?
What do you plan to do to end the killing of Palestinians in Gaza while they are trying to access food?
I've addressed the Gaza issue on numerous times.
So you don't plan to do anything to end the killing of Palestinians?
Do you believe killing children and civilians in the name of strategic defense is ever justified? Yes or no?
A somewhat related question. I want to make clear I'm a lifetime Democrat, and I will probably continue to be. But I also feel that all three branches of our government are betraying the people of the United States right now.
So again, how Republicans have become the party to represent Israel, and I guess it's been that way for a while, but it used to be more split. You know, obviously the Democrats have the radicals, the Palestinians, I get it, and then, you know, moves away. But it feels like the most obvious trick in the book. So 80%, more or less, of people in America are sick of Israel and their influence in our country. And they're sick of funding Israel. They're sick of going to war for Israel. Like, everybody's sick of it. And yet the Republicans are like proudly and aggressively tying ourselves to Israel. And I say that because the Republicans are clearly the only party out there that even vaguely represents my interests, but they don't really, do they? They represent Israel's interests. And it's just like, why? What is the benefit we're receiving from this exactly? There's no benefit that the American people are receiving, obviously. And the Republicans aren't receiving a benefit either. What is the benefit the Republicans are receiving? Money? Okay. Can't get that anywhere else, huh? It just seems like a suicide pact. It seems like a suicide pact for Republicans who, and it genuinely doesn't make any sense. It's like the support for Israel in America is a sinking ship. It's going down. It is the Titanic. It is split in half. It is going to the bottom of the ocean. And Republicans are tying themselves to it. And it's just like, but why? What is the benefit? What is the argument here? It's honestly incredibly infuriating. Especially when, like, the primary, you know, political outlets of Israel in America are the very organizations that are destroying our country and that the Republicans stand completely against. It's just baffling. It really is. The ADL are the ones. I mean, the ADL had Antifa members running big, you know, sections of that organization. They're running it. They are the ones who called TPUSA a terrorist organization. They are the ones who said it was hateful to try to fight Antifa. They're the ones who were instructing the FBI to go after every single right-wing organization they possibly could in every way that they possibly could. The ADL is inextricably tied to the state of Israel. They've spied on the American people for the state of Israel. That's according to Kash Patel, the head of the FBI. But they're our master. But the Republicans will die to serve them. AIPAC is another organization that just opposes everything the Republicans are against. The Hebrew Immigration Society. You know who was the head of that? Alejandro Mayorkas. The ones orchestrating and carrying out the massive invasion of our country. But Republicans are tied at the hip to Israel. It is so ridiculous and inverted. It's why you look at it and you go, okay, I guess they're all pedophiles. I mean, unless there's another explanation. The only thing I can think of is I guess they're all blackmailed pedophiles, which sucks, but apparently that's the case. Let's go to clip one here. This is Benjamin Netanyahu earlier today, just gaslighting ridiculously about Israel and framing Israel as the bulwark stopping the Muslim invasion of Europe. Yeah, we'll fact check that on the other side. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu earlier today.
We are actually fighting the barbarians who want to destroy our free societies. They want to destroy you. And we are standing at the front lines while we are being attacked from people in Europe whom we are protecting. It's quite amazing. So obviously, there has to be a change, I think, in the understanding of what battle is being fought here. It's not merely against the Hamas terrorists who hide behind civilians, who use their civilians as human shields, who shoot the civilians who want to get out of harm's way. When
oh, my
we
God.
Tell
All right, let's just take him down.
Air.
Oh, yeah. Remember, by the way, not an exaggeration. I'm not making it up. Let's go again to the drone footage of Gaza here. Clip number 4. Now, as you look at this footage, let's go ahead and roll it. As you look at this footage of the moon-like landscape of an utterly destroyed Gaza, remember, according to Benjamin Netanyahu, the reason Gaza looks like this is because Hamas blew themselves up. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making that up. I'm not putting words in his mouth. According to Benjamin Netanyahu, the reason Gaza looks like it does with every single building flattened like a pancake is because Hamas systematically booby-trapped and exploded every single building in Gaza. That's what he says. Think I'm joking? Look it up. We can find the video. Like, at a certain point, what are we doing here? What are we doing? What is this? They blew themselves up. Hamas blew themselves up. They destroyed their own city. And they're trying to invade Europe. Meanwhile, leaked documents from October 2023 show, in no uncertain words, that the Israeli government planned 2 years ago to expel all the Palestinians from Gaza and send them to Europe and Canada. But they're telling you that Israel is protecting Europe from the people that they're trying to send it here. Okay. Now, you're so clever. These tricks that they pull is just how, you know, y'all, we're all so befuddled over here about what's real and what's not. No, we get exactly what's going on. Nothing is getting by anybody. It's just, I guess, our leadership is so utterly blackmailed by this, I don't know, cabal of Satan's children that we can't do anything about it. Hundreds of thousands marching rallies across Europe against Israel. I mean, Europe is turning away from them in response. Netanyahu is just like, Europe doesn't matter anymore. Quote, Europe has essentially become irrelevant, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu tells Euronews. In an exclusive interview with Euronews, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu slammed Europe's stance on Israeli strategy in Gaza and the EU's visible absence in the ceasefire plan process presented under the leadership of President Trump. Europe has basically been absent from this, quote, basically caved into Palestinian terrorism and radical Islamist minorities. Well, why would that be, I wonder? Gee, why is it that half of Europe's population is now Muslim? What could have possibly led to that result? What could have possibly been behind the influx of Islamic migrants into Europe? Could it possibly be the myriad of Israeli NGOs feeding them to us? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's, you know, all of the influence of the EU and the people there, like Olaf Scholz, former head of Germany, who says, for me, the reason Germany exists is to guarantee the Jewish state in Israel. It's a quote from him. Look it up. Could it possibly be war after war after war fought by NATO or America or our clandestine operations in places like Syria, the benefit of which can only be to Israel? Why did we go to war in Syria? Why did we spend the last 15 years creating ISIS to try to overthrow the Syrian government of Bashar al-Assad? There's only one reason. It's because it was a crucial aspect of the axis of resistance between Iran and Hezbollah that Israel wanted defeated. Who are all the people in Europe that are now marching against Israel? Most of them are Syrians, driven out of their country by the actions of America at the behest of Israel. Why did Libya get taken down? Well, do you remember what happened in Benghazi? Do you remember that we were using Benghazi as a stopping point as we transferred weapons to the Syrian rebels? So we needed Libya as a highway to deliver Stinger missiles and other, you know, large-scale weapons to the rebels in Syria to try to overthrow Assad? So the gateway into Europe from Africa, the source of the vast majority of African migrants or Middle East migrants into Europe, Libya. Gaddafi himself said, if you take me out, the floodgates will open into Europe. And then we took him out as another aspect of this multi-front war on Israel's behalf. Oh, but they're the bulwarks. They're protecting us from Islam. They're literally trying to portray their actions in Gaza and Syria and Lebanon and Qatar and everywhere else, Yemen and everywhere else, in Iran and everywhere else that they've bombed, you know, for absolutely no reason or at least to no end recently. They're telling us that it's not that they deserve blame for being warmongering, psychotic, violent terrorists in their entire region. No, they did all of that against their will. They're victims. Do you know how sad it makes them to have to do that? It's just horrible. It's horrible that that's on their conscience now. And they're the victims, really, at the end of the day. The Israelis for having to kill everybody. Stupid people making them kill them. It's just awful. And the so-called terrorists using human shields, you got no excuse but to kill the children. You know how hard that is for Israel and how much they've suffered, what they've had to do? And that's what they're trying to portray themselves as. When the reality is, without Israel starting all of these wars, you never would have the migrant influx. You never would have the civil war in Syria. You never would have had Gaddafi falling and Libya opening up as a transit to Europe. And without the influence of a lot of Jews in Europe, you know, who tell you, and again, no uncertain words, like they're like, you know, diversity, multiculturalism. It's good. It's the only way Europe will survive, according to Barbara Spector. And then they turn around and tell you, we're fighting the barbarians so they don't attack Europe. They've literally already taken over Europe. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot. Really helped out on that. Really gave Europe a lot of help. So essentially Europe is destroyed by Israel through, you know, a couple of steps removed, but more or less directly. And then he's like, well, Europe is irrelevant. Doesn't even matter anymore. They're basically Muslim now. Basically, they're going to be Gaza next. So, you know. Get done in the Middle East, and then all the Middle Eastern people, all the Muslims, will flood into Europe. That will no longer be a Christian or Western civilization, as the white people are deliberately, systematically eliminated and replaced with foreigners. And then those foreigners will be the same people from Gaza. And I guess we're looking at a, here you go, here's Munich, 2035? What do we think? The 2040s? I mean, when is Innsbruck going to look like this? When are we going to see Madrid given the Gaza treatment? Because I don't see any other path being plotted for us. And then what Israel is doing to try to regain hearts and mind in America is only making everything worse. And I'm sure if you were on X this weekend, you noticed that every single time I refreshed my newsfeed, the top post was from somebody I did not follow, saying something that doesn't make any sense, but is sycophantically slobbering over Israel and demonizing Tucker Carlson. So, think that's working? Or do you think that's really going to backlash?
The receiver from the state is coming here tomorrow. I'm going to be friendly, but they're here to start the shutdown of InfoWars. So for all of you saying, oh, you'll survive forever. Well, they don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. That's why we're running the biggest sale in our history. Buy one, get one free of any of the incredible supplements, Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, you name it. The problem is they didn't have big supplies to catch 22. So a lot of the sale has had to end because things have sold out at the AlexJonesStore.com. The last stand super sale, 20% on top of buy one, get one free. But we do have Ultramethylene Blue liquid, the very best you're going to get. The ultimate CMOS gummies, the incredible super nutrient, amazing. And the Shilajit capsules, the very best trilogy. All these are super complex nutrients. You're insane if you don't get them. Just like our information is powerful, these products are incredible. 20% off store-wide on top of those sales. And if you have the app that we'll put on screen, alexjonesapp.com takes you right to Apple. The Droid launches in a few days. Number one in news, the top 150 of total apps in the world out of 1.6 million. alexjonesapp.com. If you buy through the shopping cart on the app, you get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free at alexjonesapp.com. It's a free app on Apple. Despite them trying to delist it and block it, it's still surging. The alexjonesstore.com, access it through alexjonesapp.com and get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free. And they're going to have to end the ultramethylene blue sometime probably tomorrow. Current sales rates is going to sell out. War comes in 3 weeks. They're going to have to end the CMOS gummies in about 2 days and the Shilajit in about 3. So everything else is basically sold out. So they're going back to regular price and they'll be totally sold out a few days, period. But that funds the operation. Well, thanks for your support. TheAlexShowStore.com. But you are insane if you don't try the ultramethylene blue. It will game change your life and it funds the second American revolution worldwide. It's game time.
We'll be joined shortly by Wid Lyman, who's there on the ground during some of the ICE riots. We'll get his perspective on that. I want to go to a couple more videos here in the first 5 minutes. Let's go to clip 28 here. This is Jon Stewart slamming Republicans, apparently. And let's just see what he has to say.
You just want that person to give you your country back. Because you yes. feel that you're this country's rightful owners.
We are.
There's only one problem with that. This country isn't yours.
No, it
you
is.
You don't own it.
Yes,
it
we do.
Never was.
Yes, it was.
There is no real America. You don't own it. You don't own patriotism. You don't own Christianity. You sure as hell don't own respect for the bravery and sacrifice of military, police, and firefighters. Trust me.
Let's bring him down. Let's go ahead and bring down Jon Stewart. Here's the thing, though, Mr. Leibowitz. No, we do, though. No, actually, we do own all of that. No, we do. Do you think the left owns in any way any share of patriotism, any share of Christianity? You people have made it abundantly clear what you stand for, what the right stands for, also abundantly clear. God, Jesus Christ. The country waving the American flag, supporting the troops, supporting America. Like we own patriotism. And by the way, we didn't want to own it. You gave it to us. You forced it on us. You decided you wanted nothing to do with patriotism. How can you sit there and say there is no real America and you don't own patriotism? You don't believe there's America. You don't believe it exists, but you're telling us that we don't own it. No, you're trying to destroy it. You're trying to psyop Americans into believing that we've already lost our country so we don't fight to retain it. We're not going to fall for it. No, we do own patriotism. We do own Christianity, just like you people own cutting dicks off of little boys and, putting perverted men in the shower with little girls. That's what you people own. We own patriotism. You own that. Okay? I mean, this is not complicated. We own debating. You own murdering people. You've claimed this yourself. Yeah, there's Jon Stewart, brilliant unifier, right? One of the men most responsible for the utter and complete collapse of patriotism in this country now wants to lecture us about patriotism. He's decided he's picked one, pet belief about the 9/11 survivors, the 9/11 first responders, and then acts as if, he's just as patriotic as everybody else. No, scumbag. You're the one responsible for the state of the lack of patriotism on the left, who are constantly burning American flags, calling it fascist. I mean, in fact, we even would argue this. It's about as ridiculous as the left saying the right is the violent side. Your side has embraced political violence. Your side has embraced transgenderism. Your side has embraced destroying the country. Your side has embraced saying that there shouldn't be a United States of America. Your side is embracing all of this as we speak, Our side embraces patriotism. Our side embraces the founding fathers and just everything that America ever was before about 10 years ago when everybody decided to go insane and claim that they're simultaneously want America to be destroyed and are the real Americans. I mean, shut the hell up, John. Do you think you're being clever? Do you think anybody's falling for this? I mean, I don't know what level of cognitive dissonance the left is operating at these days, but I guess we can just add this one to the list. I guess we can add this one to the list of cognitive dissonance beyond anything we've ever experienced before. Same things we saw, the same people, same individuals saying, I'm glad Charlie Kirk is dead and the right wing are the violent ones. And they hold both of these beliefs in their head at the same time. Same people will say, I'm burning the American flag, you know, USA, KKK, get rid of all of it. And we're actually the most patriotic. Actually, we're the patriotic ones. We need to, I don't know what we need. I can't say what we need to do, but, oh, it's certainly something. We can't go on like this. These people are insane. We need to help them shut up forever.
And they'll be like, all the shows are right again. It got shut down. We've been fighting it. We don't want it. But yeah, it's happening. But they don't own theallshowstore.com. And we have the last stand super sale. Buy one bottle, get any bottle free of any of the supplements, the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, the very best. It's all there at theallshowstore.com. But whatever you do, go now to alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com. And get download the free app, listen to the show, and share it. We love our Muslims, too. Oh, they so good. Oh, they so sweet. Oh, wow. Be sure to get the app right now, folks, and share it right now. I'm just saying that bang on the head. You realize, Matthew, it's the viewers and listeners in this. It ain't me, brother.
The command center in the battle for clarity and truth. Harrison Smith invites you to the War Room.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Third hour is on. I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Wid Lyman. He, of course, is a Border Hawk News field reporter. He's been working in tandem with his brother, Dan Lyman, to bring exclusive U.S. border and immigration updates to BorderHawk.news. And, of course, he's been there in the White House and asking very pertinent questions. You can follow Wid on X at Wid_Lyman. That's WID_LYMAN, BorderHawk.news. Wid, welcome to the show, sir.
Harrison, it's great to be with you again. Good to be on the War Room today.
Well, I'm glad you've survived your adventures over the weekend. Last time I talked to you, you were, you know, in the White House asking, you know, the president questions, and you've gone from that to on the streets where this chaos is unfolding. Which one do you like more, Wid?
You know, they have pros and cons. I would say the parking for both of them, though, is absolutely terrible. So there's a lot of standing and walking in both. Both present different kinds of dangers, but, you know, being in the field is a very, very unique experience.
Well, it's sort of back to your roots, since of course you got started, you know, chasing down cartel members on the border, and now you're where they ended up. Where were you this weekend, and what did you see?
Yes, we spent about 7 days in the greater Chicago area, predominantly at the Broadview ICE detention facility, which is about 30 minutes, 15 miles or so outside of the city to the west. And then we did some ICE embedding in the greater Chicago area as well. And then we went downtown for some protests and demonstrations. And then we went to the southwest side for greater protests and demonstrations. So we kind of covered a great deal of the area, but predominantly we're at Broadview, which your audience has heard about, which is the ICE detention facility, which is the epicenter, pretty much the whole country, Portland and Broadview, of this, you know, ICE, you know, attack, if you will, or war that the population is kind of going after. So,
yeah. So tell us, you know, we've seen a lot of your videos, and the crew can play some of these as B-roll. You know, usually the ones that go viral are the sort of the most violent, most insane, and it looks like chaos there. is that representative of the whole, you know, 7 days you were there? Or just tell us what we don't see on the videos. As somebody there experiencing it, what do you want people to know about the reality on the ground?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, unfortunately, just filming cars parking and people protesting isn't really news in that sense. But what I would really want folks to know is that these situations, they build and build and build, and then they finally just explode into chaos. So there's a lot of, you know, prep and issues that go into each of these demonstrations, but the temperature is really high right now in Chicago. Any sight of federal agents, ICE, doing any kind of enforcement or even just walking around their facility, they are targets of a lot of hostility. 90% of it is just yelling, shouting, name calling, activism, protesting. And then a good chunk of it is some level of violence, whether they're blocking a road, they're impeding activities, they're following ICE around their vehicles, or as you're watching live right here, they're attacking vehicles, throwing rocks and bottles, other projectiles at the ICE agents as they leave. So everything that you see here, this is the end of the powder keg, right? The bomb has gone off metaphorically, and now we're into pandemonium and chaos. But the other thing too is that we captured, you know, a good chunk of these issues, you know, in 7 days. This is not, you know, once a year this happens. We covered multiple of these protests that got progressively worse over time as well. So again, these are building and building. People are at the ICE center 24 hours a day. These communities are ready to pop off, just like you see here. So there's a lot of angst and very high tension in the Chicago area.
So that's what I was wondering, if it sort of popped off really big and then petered out, or if it's growing steadily. So you're saying it's growing steadily. What's causing it to grow, and what are the feds doing to combat it? It seems to me like they could be making arrests, and that might, you know, warn some people off. But what are they doing to, you know, stop this progression, as it does seem to be getting more and more intense as the days go on?
Law enforcement is in a very difficult spot because they have to do their mission. They have to do their job, fulfill the law. They also have to protect themselves from outside interference. But they also can't just go in there and just squash a whole neighborhood. So they have to be very careful about what they do and don't do, I think. And what we've seen on the ground is measured response to protesters. So the big riot that we experienced, which was in Brighton Park, which is what you're seeing now, the feds had just conducted an operation. They had had an issue where one of their cars was rammed, and they had, you know, closed off the area, so to speak, and then the population showed up to protest. Prior to launching tear gas and getting out of there quickly, they were waiting. They were pausing. They were trying not to instigate or cause a problem. People had already started throwing rocks, causing issues. So then at that point, they had to, you know, egress to protect themselves. So they're in a really bad spot, though, because if they exude too much force, they're going to be met with a lot of force. So, you know, force meets force, right? So there's not a lot of de-escalation that happens in these moments. What I will say, though, to the governor's credit, who has a lot of criticism, and a lot of it is rightfully so, the state police did show up on Friday, and they took control of the situation as far as the roads and the blockade out front of the detention center. And they did a phenomenal job, top to bottom. Officers, the second in command of the Illinois State Police, was there. They did an amazing job, and their presence quelled the crowd, because that is not the target of the protesters. They don't want state or local authorities. They want the federal authorities. So to their defense, they showed up. They did a great job. But the federal agents are in a really tough spot. Everywhere they go in the city, they're protested, they're followed, they're tracked, they're attacked. I mean, just on that one day, that Brighton Park, there were two different instances of federal agents being rammed by vehicles. One of them resulted in a shooting, a defensive shooting by the agents. So that is getting worse. No question about that. I mean, there's another story here. We can get to it, but the FBI just arrested someone. U.S. Attorney's Office just charged someone who had put out a hit, $10,000 hit on a senior DHS official. So those situations are getting worse for the federal government specifically.
Yes, it seems to me like it is only going to get worse. And of course, we've seen, you know, the brutality of some of these attacks. Obviously, you had the shooting that occurred, it must have been last week. And then a few months before that, we had another attack in, you know, just outside Dallas here in Texas. And you know, what is it going to take, like an ICE agent being murdered? Like, what are we waiting for, I guess, is the thing I'm asking. Because it doesn't seem like, I think you're right, and it seems like the federal authorities as of now are being very, like, reticent to actually, you know, go out and, do some stuff, arrest some people. They're being very, like, gentle with them. It's obviously not helping. I mean, it seems like that's only emboldening the other side. I could see how it could go the other way, whereas you say, like, the more violent ICE gets, the more violent the other side is going to get. But isn't ICE the more powerful, you know, side of that equation? Wouldn't they want that to be the case? I mean, I just don't see how letting it grow, letting it get more intense, letting these, you know, situations develop, two different ICE officers getting hit by vehicles, one of which ended in a shooting, like, how long is he going to be till one of these guys ends up dead? And then will we really step on it? Like, what are we waiting for, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I certainly hope and pray there are no fatalities whatsoever. But, you know, these people are also emboldened by their local government. I mean, you've heard comments from the mayor, from the chief of police. We have the difficult story of the patrol chief calling off the authorities, helping the federal agents. You have the governor himself that's made lots of comments. The chief of police in Broadview specifically claimed that they were making fake 911 calls and draining resources of the city. So a lot of these protesters are emboldened not just by their groups, but also by the state and local government. So that they're not going anywhere. They're going to continue doing this going forwards. And I don't know, as far as tactics go, Harrison, what it will take, but I think that if the federal government shows up in significant force, like they did last Saturday with the tear gas, clearing everybody out, you know, that will have a substantial impact on the protesters, but, you know, at what cost? And I know that they're reticent of that. They're very conscious about safety. They're very conscious about what they do going forwards, and they have to be very careful. You know, one of those videos we have out of Brighton Park, agents are fleeing the scene and just tossing the CS gas cans out the window. You know, that's a sign of, you know, they're clearing out the road because they're afraid to a degree. They're trying to protect themselves, but it also shows a level of chaos that is not good. I mean, you know, the footage is shocking. You know, it's great news, but it's a horrible thing. Like at the border, we talked about years ago, right? Like, you know, mass crossings is great for news, but it's horrible for the country. Right. So going forwards, if they really flex their muscle, which they certainly can and will be able to do, especially with the big, beautiful bill funding coming in, ICE is one of the most funded organizations, not military, but police organizations of the whole world now. They're going to meet a lot of resistance. But like you said, they're the federal government. They're going to win that every time. But it could get really ugly first.
Well, but again, it seems to me like the longer we wait to do something, the uglier it gets. And I just can't help but think back to like January 6, 2021, where you had this, you know, couple hours long riot where, you know, it started off peaceful and then those police actions that caused the violence to break out. But within like 3 hours or so, everybody gone home, you know, everybody cleared out when they were asked to leave. Most people just left. And yet then after that, we saw this wave of arrest and we saw the leadership being arrested. We saw people that weren't even there being arrested because they weren't, you know, group chats with people that were there. I don't think we need to go that far. Like it doesn't, you know, that was all unconstitutional. That was all actual, you know, literal oppression and complete abuse of power. I don't think we have to go that far, but is anything being done? Like if you've got a big riot and you've got all these people, you know, rioting and going crazy, is there no method of like, you know, tagging them with some sort of ink that stays on them so they can go be arrested later? Are they not, you know, capturing their identity so that then they can go pick them up at their house the next morning? Like, there's got to be ways that you don't have to engage in this back and forth street brawl chaos, but we could still stop it from accelerating and getting to that point by targeted arrests the next day or the, you know, in the next few days. Do you see anything like that going on? How many arrests do you actually see?
You know, there's between 12 and 50 over the last week or so of multiple different kinds of demonstrations, which is a pretty low number considering how many protesters were out there. You know, if anybody ever asked me, you know, at DHS, what I think they should do is they should do exactly what the state police did. That video you're showing there is state police and local PD. They totally took over the situation. They dominated the road. They dominated everything everybody did. He said, if you're going to protest, you're going to do it right here, and this is how you're going to do it. If you walk in the road, we're going to arrest you, and you just, you know, you're no no chaff, I guess. You're not going to be doing all these other strange things like block the road, hold hands. I'm not actually protesting. I'm not actually, you know, being violent. They took nothing from the crowd. They were saying, you're going to do it this way. If you don't do it this way, everybody's going to jail. And that was super effective. And they, and people responded really well to that. The difference though, I think, is in other areas, you know, the Brighton Park situation was worse than Broadview because that is where people live. I mean, you have a predominantly Latin community with thousands and thousands of people. So they are completely outnumbered. I mean, the scene, you know, they have one stretch of road that they had blocked off, but then the areas around it, people were just pouring into the area. It felt like the imagery we've seen from Black Hawk Down where the chopper goes down and then the population just sort of masses to that area. It felt like that. And they were not in full control of that situation at all because there were so many people showing up. The violence was, you know, the temperature was being raised significantly. There were lots of people on cell phones calling, hey, we got ice. We got ice. Oh, I see ice here. I see ice here. So they can exert a lot of force at places like Broadview. But if they do it in a place like Brighton Park, I think you're going to see riots that we haven't seen in a long time because there are so many people that hate the federal government right now.
Well, let me ask you, have you talked to people on either side? Will they give you interviews? I mean, how do the federal agents feel about this and how do the state police or even the local police feel about what they're being ordered to do?
Great, great question, Harrison. So a lot of my field reporting, I don't do a lot of field interviews, mostly because time, you know, people don't want to really do that necessarily. And if I interview a cop, he's not going to say yes. And if I interview a protester, I'm going to hear how much they hate ICE. So in my mind, it's not worth the interaction. However, I had dozens and dozens of conversation off record, off camera, with people that live there, with protesters, with police. And the vibe from a lot of the population is real. They really hate federal government in this way. They really hate what ICE is doing. They hate their mission. Even if it's going after the worst first, even if they're defending themselves, they want nothing to do with these people in their community because they see them as Trump is in their community, right? This always goes back to President Trump. You know, Trump's in our community. Trump's causing all these issues. And the state police and the local cops, and maybe they agree with the DHS's mission, but, you know, they don't want to be out there necessarily protecting these environments because they think, oh, the feds did this. I will say again, the state patrol was a very different animal, very different situation. Those are very serious people. They believe in rule of law and they will do everything they can to defend it. Local cops though, I mean, there's a video of the Broadview cops. They got tear gassed. They were in an alleyway cowering while the population attacked the vehicles because they were so unprepared for what was about to happen. So it's a mixed bag. It's a long-winded answer. It's a mixed bag, but I will say that, you know, the extremes that we see where people really hate the federal government again is very, very real. That is not a microcosm of opinion.
And it's just about Trump and it's just for like illegal aid. Like I'm trying to wrap my head around this. I mean, what are they, you know, it would be different if they were taking guns, if they were, you know, shutting down businesses that were lawful. They were arresting American citizens. Like, but they're not even making that claim. These people are literally just rioting because they're arresting illegal aliens, right? I mean, what is the claim? Why are they there? I mean, why do they say that they're there? Because as far as I can tell, it's entirely just because they like illegal immigrants and don't want them to get kicked out of the country. But like, are they trying to predicate this on like, no, this is America and Americans don't stand for this. Like, what is the justification here?
No, it's all that. So there was a comment by the mayor recently where he said Chicagoans. So all of these people are Chicagoans, Illinoisans. They're Americans. They're our neighbors. They're our friends. You know, they're my friend's kids. You know, one of the comments was if your neighbor's kids were abducted, what would you do? You know, so that it's all the same to them. It's not like people are American, people are not American, people from Chicago or whatever. It's all the same to them. You know, a lot of these people at the Broadview facility are not illegal immigrants. A lot of them are regular Chicagoans that don't bear any sort of, you know, relation to some of these people. One of the funny comments from the federal agents when they say, let them out is give us a name. Tell us one name of one person in here. And they often can't because they don't know who's actually in there. So it's all rhetoric. It's all opinion. But they view this as their neighbors. These are their people that, you know, federal government is abducting via masked issues. You know, someone's been here 20 years. You know, how dare you abduct them? And to your further point, the Brighton Park situation, that was a scene where the population there, again, there were two instances. A gentleman or lady had rammed a federal officer. They fired into the car, hit the person, and then they had to set up a crime scene. So it was all about, well, you shot one of us. You know, how dare you shoot one of us? How dare you are here causing this violence? So it doesn't even matter whether it's an illegal immigrant, a criminal illegal immigrant. It's all the same to them.
I just don't get it, to be honest with you. Now, apparently, the White House's, White House official inadvertently revealed plans to send elite army unit to, Portland. I'm not sure if you saw this. This is from The Guardian. Anthony Salisbury displayed a chat by accident. I guess he was on Signal and somebody looked over his shoulder and saw it about deployment of the 82nd Airborne Division, while in Minnesota. But this was apparently they're going to deploy to Portland and, basically, yeah, they're talking about doing this. Another judge is saying that, you know, they're putting a hold on it, but it sounds like Trump is, you know, fixing to do this anyway. You know, there's an inconsistency, isn't there? There are these people saying, oh, this is fascism. This is horrible. Trump is, you know, Hitler 2.0. And then they're out with no, you know, it's like, but it's like pink haired women yelling in the face of these soldiers. And it's like, okay, if you're actually scared of these guys, you wouldn't act the way that you're acting. They're acting like they're untouchable and can do whatever the hell they want. And it's, I mean, they're just really provoking these soldiers. What do you think the effect will be of doing something like sending the 82nd Airborne to an American city?
I can't imagine. I mean, just the threat of National Guard is enough to get these people really riled up. So I can't imagine, you know, a specialized unit in that way. But, you know, there are lots of people in the country, though, Harrison, that want to see us, you know, see the government reclaim some of these areas. And it will take a very difficult to watch operation from very serious people. I mean, you know, the scene in the South Shore of Chicago where 300 different federal agents took over an apartment building and, you know, had made multiple arrests. They were pulling people out of their apartments. It's a very ugly scene by, you know, visual standards. But at the same time, what are they supposed to do? I mean, if rule of law is going to be trampled deliberately, you know, during the prior administration, and you're going to allow 20, 50 million people into the country, how are we supposed to get them out if not by some level of force? Because most people are not going to leave. And if they show up and they say, hey, you know, your neighbors are all here legally, they got to go. And if I protest that, now I am the object of their, you know, force use. So again, I think the federal government's in a really bad spot where everything they do from a force perspective, from a posture perspective, is only going to raise the temperature. However, what are you supposed to do? I don't have any response to that second part of the question because the alternative is just don't do anything, which I don't think that the federal government can do.
No, well, they definitely can't do that. I don't know, man. It seems to me like it's a great situation. It seems to me like they go out to enforce the law completely in line with the Constitution, and anybody who tries to stop them is therefore committing a crime and therefore the target of lawful arrest. I mean, it seems to me like it's not that hard. Like, it wouldn't be that hard because, again, I mean, if they're doing something that's even remotely unconstitutional, if they're going after American citizens, that's one thing. But if you're going after, you know, people that you have arrest warrants for, that you know are there and are illegal aliens with deportation orders, and somebody in any way tries to stop you, then you arrest that person, and now they're interfering with law enforcement action, and you throw them in jail. And then if anybody protests that, you throw them in jail. I mean, it just seems like you could just wrap all of this up in an afternoon if you actually had the force on the ground to do it. And again, I don't see why we aren't seeing that. And we saw how it happened on January 6th. We know the government has the ability, the capability to do this. We're just not for some reason. I mean, again, just this one line from this one article. In one incident, agents were ambushed and rammed by 10 cars in Broadview, Illinois on Saturday morning. 10 cars, 10 different vehicles ramming agents ramming agents' vehicles, like, that sounds like war to me. And it sounds like it's only going to get worse if we don't do something aggressive and intense right now. More with Whit Lyman on the other side when we get back. Of course, make sure you're following Border Hawk News, borderhawk.news, at @Whit_Lyman on X. And, of course, when he's not there on the ground getting the, like, wartime footage, he's actually in Washington, D.C., in the White House, asking the pertinent questions. And you can get a nice mug, too, at borderhawk.news. I'm jealous. I see you drinking that. I'll drink out of my InfoWars mug.
We'll
drink out
of your
BorderHawk mug. We'll be right back on the other side, folks. Stay with us.
This is undoubtedly one of the toughest announcements that I've ever personally had to make. But after the accident and turn four at the end of the Daytona 500, we've lost Dale Earnhardt.
Look, I'm not trying to frame myself as the GOAT. Like a Dale Earnhardt who died with his boots on, sword in hand, or Michael Jordan, or Tom Brady, or Muhammad Ali. But the truth is, when it comes to information warfare and saving the American Republic, taking on the globalists, having the greatest effect, awakening Americans, people all over the world, InfoWars is the MVP. And the bad guys know that. That's why they come after us. That's why they sue us. That's why they attack us. Why they censor us, debank us, all of it. Because they see us as the lead elephant, the guy that has to be taken out. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've survived so many deep state attacks and attempts to close our doors in the last 8 years. It's intensified the last year. And people kind of see it as a boy who cried wolf thing. I mean, you see it in the news. They're coming to shut us down. You see them send in armed private security with no court order. Bloomberg's group, The Onion, having fake auctions. And we keep surviving. And people say, well, you're invincible. But we've had big movements in state and federal court. So just please pray for InfoWars and pray for our future, because we are fighting so hard. This crew has put up with so much. And please, please remember that the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. And it's funny, the Alex Jones Network. So even if they shut this place down, the Alex Jones Network, Big League, our sponsor, will be funding the crew, the satellite uplinks, the servers, the studios, all of it, the legal. And that's why when you go to the AlexJonesStore.com, you support there. It has a giant effect. Plus, I only sell you products that really work. The very best methylene blue, the very best bovine colostrum, the very best Shilajit, Irish sea moss, the very best spike protein detox, cardiovascular booster, ultimate life force. These products are incredible. They have 5-star reviews, 80%+ reorder rates. But I need you to get off the bench and go try the products, plus the widest selection of Patriot apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. It has been your financing of us that has kept us on air, and I want to thank those that have supported and love the products. But I want to encourage those of you that see this broadcast like a Netflix show or an NFL game or entertainment. This ain't entertainment. This is men and women in the arena fighting tyranny at point-blank range. The bad guys want us off the air because they know we are for real. So for our legal defense and staying on the air and expanding in the face of this tyranny, regardless of what happens, you decide whether we stay on air. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Throughout this week, we've got deals on bovine colostrum, on ultramethylene blue, and all of it, where you buy one, get one free. But we're only running 2 days for each product. So check out whenever you watch this, which product is there, buy one, get one free. But everything's discounted, at least 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. Whatever you do, check out the widest selection of some of the best designs of Patriot apparel in the world. Over 600 designs. It's actually annoying how many dinosaurs are. It takes a lot of time to go through it all. And wear these shirts, wear these ball caps, and experience what it's like to see how many people are awake. It is a real adventure. So thanks for your support. Whatever you do, spread the word, pray for the broadcast, and I thank you humbly for all you've done. Now take action now in the spirit of 1776 at thealexjonesstore.com. Wars take money to finance. It's an info war, and you are the info when you take action. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We'll be right back.
ladies and gentlemen, final segment of the War Room. My guest is Wid Lyman. He was there on the ground in Broadview, Illinois, capturing some of the incredible footage that went viral over the weekend of the, I'd say, the full-fledged insurrection that's taking place there. Again, just to remind you, if you haven't heard yet, and of course you can go to borderhawk.news to find all of the breaking news about this and the videos themselves. In one incident, agents were ambushed and rammed by 10 different cars. Officers were forced to fire defensive shots at one assailant. The brazen assault, along with others, comes amid President Trump's aggressive deportation push under Operation Midway Blitz, a targeted enforcement surge against criminal aliens, immigrants in the Chicago area. On top of this, uncovered Chicago Police Department radio transmissions reveal that local cops were explicitly ordered to ignore distress calls from federal agents who were pinned down and ambushed by armed rioters in the city's Brighton neighborhood on Saturday morning. This outrageous stand-down directive left brave federal officers to fend for themselves against a coordinated attack, forcing them to fire and wounding one female assailant who had just rammed a DHS vehicle with her car. Now, Johnson is taking action against the ICE agents performing their patriotic duties. And of course, there's a note from the National Fraternal Order of Police, the nationwide police union, basically condemning this and saying you have to go assist your fellow officer no matter what. And, you know, it's not even to say, like, imagine if it was the other way around. But I mean, seriously, imagine if during January 6th, it was found that some commander of some, you know, a police battalion somewhere said, stand down. Don't worry about it. If they're getting, you know, emergency calls from the Capitol Police, hey, we're trapped here, we need help, and they were told to stand down. I mean, is there any doubt that that person, whoever gave the order, whoever transmitted the order, whoever was involved, would be on terrorism charges and insurrection and sedition charges? I mean, we are witnessing a literal insurrection here. What is being done about it? And like, why do you think these people are not already being, because basically the way this is being reacted is they're like, well, we won't do that anymore. From now on, we definitely will respond. But it's like, no, this already is criminal. Why are the people who gave this order, we don't even know who they are, let alone, you know, they haven't been arrested and charged with insurrection. Why is that? I mean, what needs to happen next, Wid?
You know, that story actually is not a microcosm of what's happening on the ground there either. Like, it's the most shocking part, but it is not, you know, it's not unbelievable to me at all. I mean, so the chief of patrol was the one that told them to stand down. There was an internal audio that came out that Fox's Bill Malugin said DHS sources totally verified that this happened. Today, the chief of police was saying how there's miscommunication. The dispatcher was confused. He didn't realize, you know, basically denying the internal audio that was very explicit.
Right.
But again, this is not shocking to me because we heard from the chief of police in Broadview that they were not going to be helping ICE agents on the ground there. They were complaining about fake 911 calls. ICE agents were telling me that they were reaching out to Broadview for assistance. And that is why they built that somewhat controversial fence. They built it right across a public road with no permit. The fire department has emailed or messaged or mailed or snail mailed them to get rid of it, that it was a hazard. And they said, no, we're protecting our installation here. Broadview police asked them to take it down as well. And that situation got so bad that the chief of police showed up to help arrest some of the protesters. So you're seeing a top to bottom, you know, either neglect or wanton stand down of federal agents in trying to perform their responsibilities, because once they leave that facility, when they're in the road, the state and local police have to help them. That is their jurisdiction. That's not just the federal, you know, government. And they weren't getting that. So they built the fence. They changed, you know, their whole process, how they were doing things. So for this, you know, report to come out saying, no, no, stand down, don't help them, again, is not shocking. They had been asking the state police to get involved for much longer than just this last weekend. I want to say at least a week. And the governor was denying that. So, you know, again, this is just top to bottom. They were actively not helping and then ignoring. So now the federal government is left to very little. They're going to build fences. They're going to launch their OC cans. They're going to arrest people. They're going to be tough because they have to be. Again, their safety is on the line.
Well, again, it seems to me like the longer this goes on, the more intense and dangerous the whole thing gets. I don't know why you wouldn't just go after, you know, the people organizing. Here's a question. Are there even people organizing it? We've got videos. In fact, when we play one of these as B-roll in Portland, Oregon, these places are obviously funded. These organizations, the setup they have is clearly being sponsored by NGOs. I mean, the people are wearing the T-shirts of the NGOs as they're, you know, bringing things to the protesters. We can go to like clip two or three here and just roll it as B-roll. Are you seeing any evidence that there is pre-planning, organization? Are there people being funded? Or is this really just a sort of natural, you know, thing that's just people finding out about it and showing up?
It's both. So the Brighton Park riot was because it was in their community. And again, I stress that because if you're in their area, it is going to change fast and bad, much faster than if you're not. So Broadview, again, is 30 minutes from the city. So the riot you saw in the city was very spontaneous. People walked out of their houses, into the street, out of the restaurants, and rioted. So that was more spontaneous, more people on the ground. However, the Broadview situation is very different. You have multiple different groups. You have whole coalitions. You know, the Palestinian PSL League of Chicago. You have the ICRR, which is an anti-Trump organization. You have the Coalition Against Trump. You have the FRSO, which is this communist kind of fascist group in Chicago. You have a mayor from Evanston that showed up, which is a neighboring town. And then you have people running for Congress that were also showing up. Their county commissioner, they have a name for it. I forgot what it is, but those people showed up as well. So much more organized, much more planned. They have encampments sort of outside that area. But we're not seeing a lot of, you mentioned purple-haired ladies. I mean, that is very true. A lot of those people are at Broadview protesting. But if you go into the neighborhoods, it is not those people. Much more serious, much more intense situation. Because again, those populations are predominantly Latin. And they think that their neighbors are getting snatched up too. So it's a combination. It's both things at different locations.
Yeah, I really don't even understand how to deal with this. I mean, in most of your video, the number one flag you see is the Mexican flag, right? I mean, are these people Mexicans? Are they just Mexican, you know, heritage? I mean, what do we even do about this when, you know, everything that the officers are doing is lawful? As far as I can tell, like, and I would be against it if they were going around snatching up citizens, but they seem to be really careful not to do that. So, I mean, I get that they can sort of justify it in their own head, or they can lie to themselves about what they're doing, or, you know, like I said, that, you know, we watched the mayor's statement, and the only thing that he even offered as like a reason why they'd want to stop it is the family separation thing, which isn't even a big deal anyway. We can deport the kid too. It's fine. Like, that's not even really an issue. So like, what is the excuse to stop this? What is the excuse to, you know, prevent these actions being taken? There's no reported abuses. There's no, you know, unconstitutional activity. I don't understand how this is a valid protest in the slightest. It's literally just criminals helping to stop other criminals from being arrested. I mean, it's just, is half our population just criminals now? I mean, what, I genuinely don't understand how to progress from here without just like, boot on the neck, just like, all right, we just got to take out the trash, which I don't want, but what other option is there?
It is a great question, and it is the question that I'm sure the administration is thinking itself. Like, how do we deport 20 to 50 million people when 20 to 50 million other people who are not deportable don't want them to be deported? And you have half the country that despises the administration no matter what it does. If it builds a ballroom, if it goes to war with Iran, if it doesn't go to Iran, if it doesn't do anything, lowers taxes, they're going to hate the administration no matter what it does, even if it did nothing. So you have this ideology of you know, anti-Trump sentiment, and then you have a whole batch of people that want to stay in the United States, you know, chain migration, right? My parents live here, but I'm not legal. Maybe I was DACA. Maybe I was brought over as 2 and now I'm 15. So the whole thing is just huge and ugly and difficult. And I don't see any other way that they're going to even make a dent in this without really, you know, being aggressive, being very draconian in some of these measures. Because again, you have half the country that's just going to fight back and push you back. And I would say to your point, there's a large group on the right that is fine with just arrest, you know, governor, mayor, chief of police, everybody in Broadview, everybody in Brighton Park, you know, and say goodbye and, you know, be very Bukele in El Salvador about it. You know, I hear them for sure. I don't know what else you can do. I mean, if the governor of Illinois is going to actively fight you deporting illegal people, you know, following the law, That is a really, really tough spot to be in. And we actually asked the press secretary that exact question. I know you and I talked about this, but you've been posturing that you're going to arrest, you know, the state officials, or even going back to, you know, Mayorkas. You know, at some point, are you actually going to do that? Are they actually breaking the law by impeding, you know, federal investigations? Are we going to see that top to bottom? Are we going to see, you know, blue states just start mass arresting officials? I mean, that would certainly be something.
I mean, what, you know, like, what else are you going to do? Like, especially, I mean, if you've got, you know, congressional candidates, like that sort of thing, again, nobody asked about the implications of, you know, the actions that were taken after January 6th. They just did it. And the vast majority of people that showed up there had no ill intention. They were just swept up in the moment. They walked through the door, high-fiving the cops on the way in. And it didn't matter. They were sent away for 15 years in some cases. So it's like, I don't really have sympathy for these people anymore. And the way that they're acting is like forcing us to be totalitarian, forcing us to be that aggressive. I don't want to have federal police officers there, which is why I guess we have to deploy them, because if these people are allowed to just run roughshod over law and order in this country, then what the hell are we going to do? And I, you know, Trump today was asked the question about the Insurrection Act, and he said, well, you know, if it gets to that point, you know, that's an option. What is that point? Like, at what point do we get to, when you have 10 separate cars, so like working together, slamming into, you know, ICE agents' cars in like a coordinated attack, when you've got multiple examples of ICE agents being fired on by leftist radicals? I mean, at what point do we declare the Insurrection Act and like just unleash the militia and just go, hey, dude, go defend your own neighborhoods. You know, you now have the blessing of the federal government to do that. I mean, what is it going to take? Because I can't see the American people just like sitting by and allowing this to happen for that much longer.
You know, you mentioned that story. I was talking to Dan earlier, and he made the comment of that's something that you see in the third world. You see a horde of 9 or 10 vehicles assaulting federal agents, you know, of the government and attacking. And, you know, in Mexico, a lot of instances that they're killed. That's not imagery that you see in the United States very often. So we are seeing an escalation in the violence. We're seeing an escalation in tactics. And the fear, I think, if you don't get very serious about this problem, we are going to end up like a Mexico, where large parts of the country are, you know, as Alex pointed out this morning, are no-go zones, or you have entire states like they do in Mexico that are completely controlled by large, powerful cartels. So I think the fear is we're already kind of there in some ways, in some of these places, but you know, we don't want to end up like that as a country. This is America. We are rule of law. We have standards. We have, you know, Constitution, Bill of Rights, and we're going to, you know, uphold that and be that country. I don't want to live in Mexico. I don't want to live in places like Brazil with favelas, where you have just whole areas of the country that the government has nothing to do with because they can't. So I don't want to see a fully militarized, you know, United States federal government just driving around neighborhoods either. And I think that you're going to get there if you don't do something about this issue very fast and very quickly, because this is the end game is the cartel in Mexico, right? Where they run entire cities and states. And this is the precursor to that. And maybe that's too soon to state, but I don't think that that's out of reach at all, because we're already seeing, you know, large areas of the country very much dominated by horrible, horrible gangs. I mean, Tendaragua did not exist in this country until recently, and they are not a cartel. They are not a gang. You know, their label is a terrorist organization, but they are a destabilizing agent. They show up to a community and they will destabilize it. That is their goal, because central authority is a threat to them. They don't want to deal with, you know, 100 ICE agents coming around, but if they can destabilize the population and the environment, then they're going to take control like they did in Aurora and those apartment complexes. And also in El Paso, we've seen that as well. So I don't think people grasp how bad this could get, how fast. Because again, a lot of these people that are here illegally, they're preyed on by other people who are here illegally that are very criminal. That was the South Shore discussion. So again, the end road of if we don't do something very strong and very fast is you're going to have, you know, just very small pockets of, you know, high trust societies. Otherwise, it's not going to look like that. It's going to look like Brighton Park. And you know, no offense to the people there, but that was not a very nice area at all.
Right. Well, no, you're exactly right. And I mean, there are examples out of Mexico that are great examples for what we're talking about here. Because at the end of the day, it's about who has the lawful authority in an area, or who has the authority, period, in an area. You know, the example I'm thinking of is the son of one of the main cartel leaders was arrested. And then the cartel went, broke him out of prison and said, no, you're not arresting him. He's ours. And the Mexican government said, okay, sorry about that. You know, he's yours. And they don't have the power or the authority to rearrest him. So he's out and he's free. So, I mean, in that, you know, when that happens, you can't really say that that's Mexico under the authority of the Mexican government anymore. That is something else. That is a rogue state, essentially, run by a criminal enterprise. So I think it can get to that very quickly. And, you know, even if we're not at that level yet, obviously, if you don't have the ability to arrest criminals in an area, you're not the authority there. That has seceded in all, you know, for all intents and purposes. In fact, I've got a video we can watch here, clip number 12. This was in Southside, Chicago, and it's an attempted arrest of an illegal alien, and the residents prevent the arrest from happening. Let's go to clip 12 now, and we'll get Whit Lyman's comments on the other side. And I don't know if we'll have to watch the whole thing, but at least gives you, you know, an image, this guy being arrested, and the residents show up and chase the ICE agents away. They don't know what the hell's going on. They don't know who this guy is, but they're willing to, you know, put their own lives. I guess they don't even think their lives are at risk. So, you know, they're just going to try to interfere and stop this arrest from happening. And you hear the people honking. And yeah, spoiler alert, this guy does not end up arrested. This fat goblin looking foreign dude who doesn't belong in our country gets rescued by his fellow goblins there in Chicago. So what do you do at this point when if you can't arrest people, you're not the authority. And if the city is, you know, preventing you from doing it, then they're in a state of insurrection. So, I mean, again, I don't have an answer other than the obvious one, I guess, is the difficulty. The obvious thing is just arrest all these people. Yeah, that guy ended up not arrested. So at the end of the day, this really is a question of authority in this country. Who has the supreme authority? Is it mobs of foreigners, or is it the federal government? And, you know, I want the federal government to solve this problem, not because we have to, not because, like, the regular citizens are incapable of it. I think Portland is an even better example. I mean, how long would it take, you know, 20 good old boys to clear out the streets of Portland? Like, it's not this insurmountable problem that we have. They're just not taking care of the problem. You know, final thoughts. Well, what is your message to the Trump administration? Like, if you were, you know, if I was your fairy godmother and could tap you on the head and say, you are now in charge of ICE. You now have total authority. You're in charge of ICE. What would Whit Lyman order them to do?
I would make steak cheaper, first of all, that's especially the ribeyes. But to go back to that clip, though, that clip is scary in a different way, because if you're making an arrest, as that agent was doing, and the population shows up to stop you, that is a very, very dangerous situation for that officer.
Right.
Because he is outnumbered, or she is outnumbered. Tactics can get really bad really fast. He or she has to defend himself in that moment. That's a really ugly, dangerous situation if that is, you know, people are showing up and doing that. So what I've seen from agents on the ground conducting these operations is I've seen no illegality of any variety, but I have seen just bad tactics and some level of incompetence is the wrong word, but they just don't seem prepared for what could happen. I mean, that was obviously that man was not ready to tackle that guy and arrest him. They were not ready for the population to show up in mass, which they are very happy to do and willing to do. So that's a scary clip for lots of reasons, you know, that the population would feel emboldened enough to even do that. I mean, Harrison, you know, you're a great guy. If you're getting arrested, I'm not going to try to stop anybody. You know, that probably deserves that. So that part is shocking in and of itself. But, you know, my message to the administration would be to don't falter in the face of this level of pushback, because you knew it was coming. You predicted it was coming. You knew that there were millions of people in this country that want nothing to do with the administration, that want nothing to do with deporting illegality. And you have to uphold the messaging you're putting out. If you're going to put out really tough, spicy, you know, promo videos at DHS, well, you better back it up then. You better be tough and spicy. And again, I would reference the Illinois State Police. Do whatever they did. You know, be stern, be firm, do not break the law, be very clear about what you can and cannot do. And if you cross the line, then that's it. Then you're going to jail. That's the end of the discussion right then and there. And if you don't have enough people, you get somebody from somewhere else. You know, there are plenty of federal agencies. You know, the government is the biggest employer in the entire country for a variety of things. We have endless resources and money. Please do not let us fall into chaos. You know, do what you need to do your job. Don't falter in the face of this pushback. And if you're going to talk tough, you better be tough at the same time. You know, I don't want to see, you know, Secretary Noem going door to door doing promos and right. great videos if there isn't something behind it. You know, I think it's great that she's out there, you know, talking to the troops, but you better be doing the other part too.
Yeah, 100%. And again, you know, they were not shy or, you know, uncertain when they were, you know, kicking down the door of abortion protesters to haul them away at gunpoint. It's like, yeah, the federal government's very brave and tough when it comes to people they know are peaceful and not going to fight back. And again, I don't think Americans are aware of just how big this problem is. I don't know if you've seen this video, just as a final note, clip 13. This is the Texas State Fair on one of its opening nights. If you've ever been to the Texas State Fair, it gets very crowded, but here there's like nobody there. This is a Friday night, no crowds, no lines. And it's funny because I went to, it wasn't a state fair, but the rodeo, you know, the Austin rodeo a couple months ago. And yeah, well, let's keep playing, keep rolling that video because it goes longer, right? It's the, or is that all it is? Because it looks like, yeah, you take a picture of the state fair and then you like add a filter to remove all the non-white people. And yeah, what you have left are like two families. And it's just apparently every Hispanic person in Texas is illegal because they all are afraid to go to the state fair because they think they're going to be arrested. Like, how many illegal aliens do we actually have in this country, Wid? Because it seems like 98% of our population, at least in Texas, you know, it isn't there because they're afraid they're going to get arrested. I mean, I don't even think we realize just how big this problem is exactly.
I think Dan's the only one that actually does. But, you know, every interview that we do with Congress people, with people in authority, I ask them, how many people in your state, in the country, do you think are here illegally? And nobody ever has any good numbers. I asked the Attorney General of Florida, I said, well, what's your number? Like, what does Florida have? And he's like, I have no idea. In so many words, I said, what about the country? And he said, 50 million is not insane. And, you know, you and I used to talk years ago, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50. I mean, it could be as high as 50 million. So
the
problem is so much bigger, I think, than we even anticipate. Even us, you know, who have been talking about this for years and years, probably don't know. I mean, they used to say 12 million in like the 80s and 90s. So
right.
Who knows how many at this point? And the number is shocking. I will say there's a fair amount of fear. We talked to some residents in D.C. that were certainly not here legally, and they were all saying, well, what if I get deported? I said, well, where would you be deported to? Said, well, I don't know. I was born here. I was like, we're not getting deported. Like, stop. So some of that is true, but the problem is bigger than even those of us, you and I, you know, can even imagine.
Well, and that's 50 million illegal plus 55 million visa holders. So like a third.
Well, I was going to say, right, that's the border crosser number, but imagine, you know, all the people who have fake CDLs driving around the country. So, I mean, the number is just massive.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it seems like America maybe we could withdraw some of the soldiers that some of the tens of thousands of soldiers we have in Germany and all over the Middle East. Like, maybe we need to focus here at home for a little while and maybe we should do it while we have total power in the federal government. We don't seem to be taking advantage of this. We don't seem to be taking it seriously enough. I know there's the threat of the Podesta plan and sort of the back and forth escalation that the Democrats intend on. I think the only way you fall for that, if you don't act quickly fast enough, if you know, or aggressively fast enough, if you let it build, if you let this spiral out of control, then yes, we will get the Podesta plan. If you shut it down now, we can really nip this thing in the bud. Wid Lyman, follow him on X at Wid_Lyman, BorderHawk.news, and we'll see you tomorrow, folks.
The receiver from the state is coming here tomorrow. I'm going to be friendly, but they're here to start the shutdown of InfoWars. So for all of you saying, oh, you'll survive forever, well, they don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. That's why we're running the biggest sale in our history. Buy one, get one free of any of the incredible supplements, Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, you name it. The problem is they didn't have big supplies to Catch-22, so a lot of the sale has had to end because things are sold out at the AlexJonesStore.com, the last stand super sale, 20% on top of buy one, get one free. But we do have Ultramethylene Blue Liquid, the very best you're going to get, the Ultimate CMOS Gummies, the incredible super nutrient, amazing, and the Shilajit Capsules, the very best Shilajit. All these are super complex nutrients. You're insane if you don't get them. Just like our information is powerful, these products are incredible. 20% off store-wide on top of those sales. And if you have the app that we'll put on screen, AlexJonesApp.com takes you right to Apple. The Droid launches in a few days. Number one in news, the top 150 of total apps in the world out of 1.6 million. AlexJonesApp.com. If you buy through the shopping cart on the app, you get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free at AlexJonesApp.com. It's a free app on Apple. Despite them trying to delist it and block it, it's still surging. The AlexJonesStore.com, access it through AlexJonesApp.com and get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free. And they're going to have to end the Ultramethylene Blue sometime probably tomorrow. Current sales rates is going to sell out. More comes in 3 weeks. They're going to have to end the CMOS gummies in about 2 days and the Shilajit in about three. So everything else is basically sold out. So they're going back to regular price and they'll be totally sold out in a few days, period. But that funds the operations. Well, thanks for your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. But you are insane if you don't try the Ultramethylene Blue. It will game change your life and it funds the second American Revolution worldwide. It's game time.